Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be here. It is Monday. Hallelujah. All right, good to be here. Hopefully all is well. If not, we're going to believing with you, trying to let you know that somebody's with you. We know God's with us, but sometimes it's good to know you have a little agreement on that, right? Sometimes we're not sure. This is going through a battle. You're like going, you are on my side, right, God? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we need agreement on that. Two or more agree is touching the fact that he is on our side. He's for us. Yeah. Even if we're messing up, doesn't really matter. He's always working together to help us. Always, no matter what it is, no matter how bad, how deep, how dirty, how nasty, how beautiful, how wonderful, whatever it is, he's working with us to help you get things done. I saw something on a Christian network tonight that this guy has an amazing brain thing going on. I was blown away by it. I don't normally watch the Daystar network. I don't normally watch Daystar that much. And so I turned it on tonight, just, you know, whatever. And they said, tonight we have this invention this guy got for the brain, and it's helping a lot of people. I went, oh, my gosh, I got to watch this, you know. And so, sure enough, this older guy gets on there. And he has some kind of thing that you put on your scalp and whatever, and the brain, it sends waves through your brain and causes your brain to balance itself out. If it's out of balance, some amount of it. You know, I just kind of went, man, that is amazing. So I want to turn everybody on to that. I want to give the number to that if you didn't see that. Anytime you see something that's going to help somebody, especially with the brain thing, I'm really into the brain thing. And the way they talk a lot about the brain tonight. If you didn't get a chance to see that tonight, go to watch the next time they play the Daystar record repeat or whatever it is later in the night and set your alarm to it or record it or whatever. And so I highly recommend watching it. It's informative. A lot of the things that they talked about and that I've been learning, you know, on my own, basically. I mean, you do research on stuff, but, you know, a lot of that medical language is hard for me to comprehend. Or at least it used to be. It's getting better. But, you know, it's going to surprise you when you hear it. I want to try to get a recording of that and play that part of it. It was mind-boggling to hear them talk about how that the things that his little device does causes people who can't sleep, who have had trauma in their life, big trauma. And they say that what this thing does and is it causes the waves and the parts of your brain to start communicating and healing itself. Yeah, you believe that? I couldn't believe that. I'm going, oh, my God, I've never even heard of such a thing. This is a Christian guy, not some New Age thing. But really cool. And Joni and her new husband were talking about it. It was really awesome. Anyway, so I didn't record it, so I can't give the detailed information on it. But the things that we're talking about the brain on this and what it does, how that when people's brain gets messed up through trauma, through maybe an accident, through, you know, any kind of trauma, causes your brain to get out of kilter, out of sync or out imbalance. And when it does that, you just don't think right. Everything's foggy there. Some things are foggy. And what this thing does is it causes your brain to balance itself out to begin to heal itself. And the way they talk about it is things I've talked about here on the show. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, this is amazing how the brain heals itself. It's made to heal itself. It's made to fix itself, which is what I've been finding out. And for my own self personally, through the thing I've been doing, what I'm doing has nothing to do with what they're doing at all. But man, I just wanted everybody to know. And in fact, I'll give you the phone number on that if you want it. And if you want that number, let me know. And I'll give you a number. He's in Colorado. So just let me know about that. And if you want that information, it's called Cerecet, C-E-R-E-C-E-T, Garden of the Gods. You know, it's Colorado, Garden of the Gods. And that number is 719-278-3708. Cerecet, Garden of the Gods. The Garden of the Gods is a place in Colorado. It's not some New Age thing. Okay, let's make sure I get that clear. That number again is 719-278-3708. And when they talked about this tonight, it was amazing because what he said that their machine does is, like I said, the very things that I found out for myself that what I'm doing is good. And that is your brain starts working. Parts of your brain that you didn't know you even had just start working. It's amazing. Even with speaking in tongues, there's part of the brain that has to do with language. And as you study it out and you see that language has, one part of the brain has to do with language, even the ability to learn language. And I've noticed that in the last, many months since I've been doing this, that even my prayer language has become more just regular. Like I'm just like whatever language it is I'm talking in, I don't even know half the time, but whatever it is, it's just like, walking down the street talking to your friend. It's just like, that's been happening lately. And so it's really, really cool. And one of the main things that, of course, they were talking about this on the show, which just not the language thing, but about how that your brain begins to repair itself through this thing that they have. And it's through waves, some kind of waves that go through. And the guy's a Christian guy. So, and I think Johnny checked them out, and they saw. They're finding people with alcoholic issues, all kinds of issues. They're just, their brain is starting to function, starting to work right. They start to think clear and just quit doing things like habits that they've had. Just quit doing them, like in a couple of days. One lady had been stuttering for a while, and all of a sudden, after a couple of times, she quit stuttering, and her husband noticed it. She didn't even notice it. Her husband noticed it. I'm noticing she started taking that thing you're doing over there that you don't stutter anymore. She went, oh, my gosh. She didn't even realize it. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that because it just confirms to me that what I've been talking about, the brain, and how that God made it to, do a lot of things that we're not even aware of. I've been learning this stuff only because as my brain has been being activated, the very things that they were talking about, just a few little things they talked about, every one of those things that they talked about, the few that they talked about, every one of them, I'm going like, yeah, I know that. It's like, how do I know that? The guy's a scientist. Me scientist people out there might appreciate that. He's a scientist. And anyway, I think the name is, let me give you the name. Can get it here. When I find out something that helps people, I want to spread it around and let everyone know something good is going on. Okay, let's go here. I don't have the name. Lee, let me see here. Hang on a second. My phone going on here. Lee Gerbs, G-E-R-B-S. L-E-E, Lee Gerbs, last name, G-E-R-B-S, Lee Gerbs. And look that up. And, pretty amazing. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just telling you, I'll give you the information, you check it out for yourself. Just really cool. Like I said, the way they talk about everything, the way he discovered it. He's a scientist, and he discovered it. He made it work. And here's the cool thing about this. He talked a little bit about how he did it even. He realized that that waves, like music sounds, especially low ones, low tones, did certain things. And so he takes his idea and what he had to the music industry of the world, I forget what place he said it was. But anyway, he goes in there and he has these people, hires musicians, and they start playing that, those particular sounds. And then he took each note, after he got the musicians to play those certain sounds, that certain kind of music at a certain tone, he takes them, and then with each note, he took each note of it and adjusted it with it, where the sound waves, he said, were all the same. Instead of up and down and up and down, he said, because they're up and down, it messes up stuff. You miss things when they're up and down, but when they're level, when they're solid, he said, this is him talking, right? I'm just telling you what he said, that it does something to the brain. Isn't that cool, y'all? Let's talk about sounds and waves that are literally, balancing out the brain. I mean, this guy, I just saw this like 10 minutes ago. It was on from 8:30 to 9 or 8:45 to 9, something like that. And, I'm telling you, there's something going on with the brain and the brain wave. I've been calling it the brain wave. And literally, that's what this guy did. I've never even heard of this guy or heard of this stuff at all. He literally does it through music. He found what worked, and he takes it to where they make music, the musician, and he told him what to play and how to play it, something like that. And real musicians do it. And then he takes it, and then, like I said earlier, he takes each note and levels out where it doesn't go up and down and up and down, you know, that sound waves go, and leveled them all out. And when he leveled them all out, that's what did it. Right? Isn't it cool? So right now I'm just excited about that because it's confirming to me, they say you do it a few times. And then after it bounces your brain out, then you come in and you get checkups, I think the guy who created it said he comes in, every several months, every few months, and, gets a checkup to make sure that he's still bounced out right. So, so it's not something you do all the time, though. I do mine all the time. I've been doing mine pretty regular for my stuff that I do for, months now, just about every day. And so mine's a completely different thing. But what excited me was that to hear them talk about how it worked and what the brain did when they did it is exactly, some of it I've talked with you on the show, is exactly what I know. And I only know it because it's been happening to my brain, right? It's been cool. It helps open you up to God. It helps you reason out the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets into your brain to do it on its own. When you're yielded to God, if you're not yielded to God, it's a different thing. But when you're yielded to God and you have the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit works with your brain. But your brain works with the Holy Spirit. See, it's not just the Holy Spirit working with you. It's if your brain is normal and like they're talking about what they do in this, if you've had shock or trauma or something in your life, then you only have like 3 or 4 or 5 treatments or 6 or 7, however, it's not very many. And it just starts, your brain starts balancing itself out. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And documented and proven and the whole thing. It's not some, crazy thing. It checked it out. And so, once your brain's balanced out, then, like he even said, one of the guys, Joni's new husband said, yeah, he's done it a few times. And since then, he's been, like the guy I talked about in the movie of Limitless. Remember that? I told you that he tried to write a book for a long time and just couldn't get it done. Couldn't hardly write a page. And then when he took the pill, he was able to Joni's husband just said that happened to him, basically. Once he did a few of those treatments, he was able to start putting out some books, Like, I went, my God, this is actually happening, y'all. This is actually happening. And I have never heard of this thing. Like, well, what are you doing, Chandler? Are you doing some kind of a wavelength thing? Like is it kind of New Agey thing? No, you wouldn't do that because it's New Agey. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not doing any of that. I don't know what that is. Never heard of it. I don't really go around looking for. I look for information on the brain, but I've never really been into looking up, how they do it, how they make, how those new age things or like even this guy. I've never done research trying to find this stuff, and here it is showing up. What does that tell you? It tells you that God is wanting us to get our brains functioning normally. Because in my situation, what God's having me do is, I don't want to say it's beyond that, because I don't know, but with what's happening, with what I'm working on, we are bringing the whole brain to life, more than just balancing it out, but that, which is what they do, which is really awesome. And it works. You know, Joni Tuchman is saying, hey, I did this, and, you know, it really works. And they're not making any money off of it, so that tells you something is good. So the fact that what they focus on is, if your brain is imbalanced, then you have stress and anxiety, and because your brain's not working right. So when you get your brain working right, you balance your brain back out and start healing itself. But what I'm doing is even if you have a balanced brain, we are taking the brain, even a balanced brain, we're taking a balanced brain to not just being balanced, but to full potential, 100 full potential. You know, what this really did for me tonight, y'all, sorry if I'm so excited, it's just like so exciting. When I just literally, like I said a while ago, I just saw this. I just watched this, so it's just fresh. oh, man. So as they are talking about this stuff, I'm going like, confirmation that God is really trying to do things with the brain. That it's actually God. That it's not just me over here trying to be whatever. You know, and I'm not being led by some weird New Age movement thing. This is starting to be, it's a brand new thing. The brainwave thing is starting to really expand. And I don't know how long this has been out. And listen to this, y'all. The guy who made this, the scientist, who was on the show, they were interviewing him on the show tonight. He said, yeah, well, I first made it and it started working, but then we had to prove it for a couple of years. Yeah, does that sound like what I've been saying? You have to prove the stuff out. You have to make sure, you know, that, you know, so it's a lot of experimentation, a lot of work, and I've been doing a lot of that. And so it's been really, really exciting. And I share what I can, but like he said, when he was putting his together, that he said, you can't just try this on anybody. You know, it's something weird because we're talking about the brain, right? Because you're dealing with the brain. The brain, like they talked about tonight, the brain is the epicenter. It is the thing that runs everything. And what I'm finding out, y'all, this is amazing to me, is that I guess I must look younger and younger all the time. I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly. But when I tell people I'm 70 and a half, they just laugh like you're lying like a dog. I said, no, I promise. One person asked for my driver's license to see. I said, no, I'm 70 and a half. And they went, there's no way. You just look like you're like, you know, they're hesitant to say because they don't want to suck up, you know, like, oh, you look like you're 40, you know. But they say, you don't even look near like, you know, what are you doing? Like, if I told you, I'd have to take you out, you know, but anyway. So it's really, really awesome how the show tonight just confirmed. It's kind of like having a prophetic word come to pass. It just seems unbelievable. You know, that's kind of what it's like for me right now. Like, oh my God, this guy came up with this thing, and God led him all the way. And so he's a scientist, of course, and I'm a scientist at heart. I'm not a real scientist, but he's a real scientist, and you know, worked on it for a while. And so he says that I think every person has some kind of result. Some people's brains are more out of balance than other people through traumas in life, through maybe an accident, through whatever. And so, like I said, some people are having trouble sleeping, like I mentioned earlier. Now, start sleeping and sleep like a baby. So if you're out there and you have that problem, you might check this out, because it's just, you know, if I find something that helps somebody, because I can't give my idea yet. So I'm thinking, man, if this could help somebody, this would be awesome, right? Let me give you the number one more time. If you just tuned in, that phone number is 719-278-3708, and the process, the thing they call it is Cerestet, Cerestet, and it's the Garden of the Gods. It's a place in Garden of the Gods is a place in. I think I've been to the Garden of the Gods many years ago when I was a kid in Colorado. So you know, check it out. CERESET, CERESET, like it resets your brain again. Cerebral, maybe a cerebral reset. I bet that's what that means. I don't know. I haven't found out yet because it's fresh brand new. Just got it on tonight and found out about it. And I'm cooking at both ends tonight on this, y'all. This is really, really cool and really, really amazing. So it's always good to know that you're hearing from God. And it's always good to know that, you know, that God is actually, you know, helping you and bringing you through things and showing you stuff. And what you're doing, though some people may think you're a little loony or that some marble's missing, I'm finding out that maybe they're wrong. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Really, really, really cool. So anyway, there you go. And we'll get into some things tonight. If I can get past this is pretty amazing. So watch it on the Daystar Network. You might be able to get it in the next day or so. I really don't know how they do that. But hang on a second. Hang on. All right, I got it. My computer battery's about to go down, and I didn't have my plug-in around. There we go. All right, let's see here. All right, I'm going. Hallelujah. This is really, truly, truly, truly cool tonight. So you're going to hear me talk about this for sure. So just get used to it. And when something new comes up, I just talk to y'all about it because y'all are my friends. And, yeah, really, really cool. All kinds of things going on. I got some wonderful things happening. You know, I just really believe that God is wanting us to get into situations that are above us, that are way above us. I think he does it in levels, circumstances that, you know, you're not used to, things that are coming against you maybe, or issues you're having with certain people and certain things that are overwhelming. I really believe that the reason that we need to learn how to let God do that and stop resisting it when things happen to us that are overwhelming, and we get information, a prophetic word or something that says we might be going through some trouble. We think trouble is like, oh, it's because I've done something bad or wrong or whatever. It's not necessarily the truth. It's sometimes trouble comes to sharpen you. He says, I'll prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. So what that means to me now, I'm changing my understanding on that. When I prepare a table for you in the midst, when he prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies, what happens is, you're being put into circumstances where people come against you, so you're having to trust God more. So you're having to. So why would he prepare a table for you? Why is he? Because he's trying to show you that if you'll listen to me, I'll feed you and I'll feed your thinking and I'll show you ways and things that you wouldn't learn any other way if you didn't have some major enemies surrounding you. I mean, look at Israel. Israel is all you hear about Israel is, especially at the end time, is that they're going to be surrounded by their enemies. And so what's going to happen? God's going to come to the rescue. I think that's what's happening. I think God's trying to overwhelm us. I think the end times being so well known as a time of overwhelm, a time of, you know, a lot of disaster things happening. It's because we're going to have to get out of the boat, y'all. Have to get out of the boat and walk on the water. It's going to force us. If you have a desire at all to walk on the water, we can walk above the circumstance and above the frays and the battles and the giants in life. If you have a desire for that, I think God wants to, he's going to set you up And he's going to cause you to have battles that are way beyond you. Way beyond you. Why? Because then you learn how to trust him. He sets a table for you in the midst of your enemies so that you can, you know, learn how to trust him. And he feeds you ways how to trust him. He prepares the table. He makes a way for you to, you know, learn how to relax. I got this thing. Like Elisha was surrounded, him and the servant were surrounded by enemies. It was like a war against him. And he was losing because they were surrounding him at the very moment. And guess what? Yeah, he just kind of like went, told his servant, he said, well, you know. But what happens when you get surrounded by enemies? Yeah, but in Elisha's circumstance, he, you know, God opened his eyes. He said, look, Elisha, I prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemy. You're right in the center. They're all surrounding you. Let's look that up. Let's look at this for a second. All right. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Syria, which is, used to be Aram, was at war with Israel, and the king of Aram was disturbed that the prophet Elisha was able to predict. I'm reading this off this thing. I just Googled it. Google Elisha surrounded, and you'll come up with this. I'm excited, y'all. This is exciting. Because this is what's happening to me. Again, I'm at this at a new level now. Ancient Aram, which is now Syria, was at war with Israel. And the king of Aram was disturbed that the prophet Elisha was able to predict where Aram's armies was planning to go or fight, and warned Israel's king so that he could devise Israel's army strategy. In other words, he could work around it. Elisha would tell him, you know, the armies of Israel and the captains and the, whatever, he'd say, don't go down that road. They're waiting for you down there. And Aram kept losing the battle because, watch this, who's God using to win the war? There's a war going on here. Elisha. Elisha's directing this thing by the power of God. God is telling him, you know, so this is why the king of Aram had surrounded him later on in the story. Because, you know, every time the king of Aram tried to take down Israel and come up with this awesome strategy, Elisha would tell the king of Israel what's happening, and then they would avoid it and turn around and take down Aram's army. So it's just frustrating for him. He's going like, we got to get rid of this guy, right? Because the king was starting to accuse his own counselors. So I must have a leak in him. And he did have a leak. He had a peek. He had a peeker. His name was Elisha, and he was peeking in. All right, verse 14 and 15 describes what happened next. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force or army to where Elisha was. They went by night and surrounded the city. They surrounded, I'm going to prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies, right? Get ready for this, y'all. This is the lifestyle we're going to begin to live. And if you'll yield to it, it's going to be amazing. If you don't, you're going to cry like a baby, like the servant was doing, like I've done before. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. Elisha says, I don't worry about it. And then open his eyes, God. So the army went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses. You have to imagine this. Elisha and the servant man are in the city, and everything's cool, right? They're doing their thing. He's all excited. Oh, I'm with the man of God. And he goes out, gets up early in the morning, and goes out, and he all of a sudden he sees an army with horses and chariots has surrounded the whole city. And so he goes back to Elisha. Oh, my Lord. Oh, no. My Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Being surrounded by a large army with no escape, terrified the servant, who at this point could see only the earthly army there to capture Elisha. this guy's put this together pretty good. Yeah, so what's happening here? He's preparing a table for him in the midst of his enemies. So when you get surrounded with enemies, this is what I'm hearing the Lord tell me. We're going to be surrounded by enemies, one way or the other. If surrounded by enemies for you is one person, that's all it's going to take, then that's what it'll be. If it's 100 people or 1,000 people and you're not used to that and you're being surrounded by 1,000, then that's for you. If it's 100,000, then that's going to be, if you're ready for that, then that's what it's going to be. Because right in the middle of it, God's going to show up, y'all. And this is what I'm getting in my spirit. It's going to be amazing. Being surrounded by a large army with no escape, terrified, the servant. All right, so the story continues. Verse 16 and 17 says, Elisha says, don't be afraid. Oh, servant, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Woo! Hallelujah, man. This is it, brother. I'm telling you, this is the word. This is the theme. This is what God is saying, and he wants you to be prepared for it. So why are you talking about this? We're trying to say, you know, if we can open up and get this opened up into our minds, in our hearts, to where we realize that, like the servant who hadn't had his eyes opened yet, his thinking wasn't opened right yet. So how was he looking at it? Like, oh, my God, we're going down. We're all going to die. I knew I should have been hanging out with this man of God. I was so happy this morning going out to get some stuff and came saw this army and go, oh, Lord, no, not this. We're all going to get it. So it's kind of like that's kind of the way we are, right, you and me, until God opens our eyes. Well, Elisha, what he put – God, prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemy. Wow, what does that mean now? Just a couple of weeks ago, the whole meaning of this changed for me. Because I'm just thinking, you know, I don't know how I was thinking about it. But anyway, I think about it now like this. Like, he prepares a table for you, which is the amazing thing. Like, sit down and eat, chill, relax. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Though your enemies surround you, no problem. It's not a problem. Just enjoy the good food, enjoy the fellowship, right? So Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, and the Lord, he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. All right, so anyway, so verse 18 and 19 says, then as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike the army with the Lord to open up the blinded eyes of his servant. Now he's asking God, when they started coming down at him, right, and Elisha knew he was going to win. Elisha knew it wasn't really fair what was going on here. This is not really fair, but oh well, who cares? They shouldn't be coming against me, the servant of the Lord. And so as the enemy came down towards Elisha, Elisha prayed, strike the army with blindness. So God struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. And so Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. So what happened is Elisha showed mercy. I mean, he could have killed them all. He could have asked God to kill them all. God probably would have done it. But Elisha, verse 20, Elisha praying for the soldier's sight to be restored once they entered the city, and God answered that prayer. In other words, what happened was he blinded them, and then he led them. He said, now, I don't know how many of them there was quite a few, 1,000 or two. They surrounded the city, so it's quite a bit. And so he has them blinded. God had blinded them. And then he leads them to Samaria, which is a little bit further down the road. And when they get there, he opened their eyes and he restored their sight. They entered the city, and God answered that prayer so they could finally see Elisha and also the king of Israel who was with him. Verses 21 through 23 describe how Elisha and the king showing mercy to the army, holding a feast to the soldiers to build friendship between Israel and Aram. Verse 23 ends by saying, the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Isn't that amazing? Had enemies come in, surround them. God prepared a table Elisha wasn't worried about it. He said God blinded them, not to destroy them, not to defeat them, not to make them look bad, but to stop them because they didn't know what they were doing. Kind of what happened was, I think this idea comes from, I think God gave this, Jesus got this idea for Saul, when he blinded Saul, when Saul was out killing, you know, Christians. He said, blind him, Lord. So he blinded him, and then he opened up his eyes. Why? Because he had mercy on him. He wanted to use him. He said, man, I like this guy. I need this guy. And so I really think that this is what's happening with Israel. Really amazing. And so they built friendships between Israel and Aram, which was their enemy. And now the bands from Aram, the armies of Aram, stopped raiding Israel territory. Right? Isn't that amazing? God opens up people's eyes, both spiritually and physically, and ended up, you know, for the purpose of making friends. Kind of like he did Saul, Paul the Apostle. And he blinded him, knocked him off his horse, right? He was riding the horse, knocked him off his horse, blinded him, and said, you know, I can use you. I like you, man. You're going to be fine. So he turned him around. And I really believe this is what the time and season that we're in, is that God wants to let our enemies come in. Like, I have a situation right now where it turns an enemy situation of strategy and warfare and all this stuff. And I'm talking about this. This is a very real thing that is has turned rather nasty, and and so, you know, and it's just, I got a feeling it's just beginning, and I said, Lord, why are we doing this now? It's like, you know, like you passed the last test, Randy, finally, so now you're ready for the new one. Well, like this is a bigger one. This is a whole different kind of situation, y'all. And what God's going to do with this one, I don't know yet. But hopefully this thing with Elisha and Elijah, where God prepares a table, prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. If you can keep your eyes open to, you know, it's really not good for your enemies. I don't care how many of them there are. I don't care how much money they have, how much power they have, whether they're the head attorneys of everything around you and the judges are all connected. It doesn't matter. Who's doing what? If you know, if you can be like Elisha or like the servant, Elijah, have your eyes open and go, there's more for us than there are against us. How can we even fret about that, right? So we have to work that into our system because it takes a little time. So, you know, again, here I'm at a new level. And this is, God has made a setup, brother. I mean, this is so amazing. It's so beautiful. And these poor people, these poor attorneys, and these judges and these people, oh, my God, bless their heart. They do not have a clue what's about to hit them as far as spiritually go. Right, because I'm not a physical person. I'm not a violent person. I'm not into, you know, trying to harm people. I really want to see them get blinded and then get their eyes open. Wouldn't that be awesome? A bunch of Baptists, whatever they all are. I don't know exactly, but, yeah. Maybe some Pentecostals, who knows? They're about to see a demonstration from the Holy Ghost. That's going to blow their mind. I'm telling you. And I mean, it doesn't look like it yet. If you look in the natural, like if you're the servant of Elisha and you're looking at this situation, I mean, you're going like, oh, no, not this one. Oh, no, you don't have a chance. There's no way. They got you. And that's literally what it's like, literally. And so it's like, you know, this is truly amazing. So, you know, so I think that's why God took me to the story tonight about Elisha, and he started to show me, you know, a whole different thought process on how what it means when he says, I'm preparing the table for you. In other words, he's for you. Let me find that scripture and read it exactly to make sure I'm getting it correct. Yeah, Psalm 23, we ought to know that. For me, in the presence of my enemies, so you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil; my cup overflows. Look at this. Okay, this is really awesome. See the full chapter. Look at the full chapter here. Verse 5. Look at this just for a second. I got a feeling somebody needs this maybe tonight. I don't know. on computer work. What's going on with this? My computer's must be mad at me or something. Yeah, let's try another one. One doesn't succeed, try another one. Alright. Yeah, hang on a second, we're gonna be finishing up here and then let's take some callers. Is absolutely not wanting to work. That is unbelievable. I'm going to be over there. All right. So shall I give up or should I try something else? All right. Let me go here. Hang on a second. I think I'm supposed to read this. Or somebody tonight. All right. Psalms 23. Go here to King James Version. All right, verse 5 says, you prepare a table for me. Actually, let me back up here. Somebody needs this. I'm going to read this for you, whoever you are. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Verse 4, 23:4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, look at how the buildup on this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So you see he's preparing a table before him in the presence of his enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You don't usually say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when you get the enemies surrounded. You're going like, okay, God, where are you at? But that's what it's saying here, is that this is going to those who have their, are like Elisha, or the servant who's had his eyes open, you're going to start seeing that these times where we're surrounded by enemies that are way beyond us, in the natural, no way to win. But suddenly, a new anointing is going to show up. Yeah, a new anointing is going to show up. And all of a sudden you're going like, oh boy, it wasn't looking that great. Now, hallelujah, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, this is how the oil talks to you, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Where in the midst, that's what the table is, friend. I'm telling you, right in the midst. Right in the midst of your enemies, he prepares a table for you. Wow. That is amazing. You anoint my head with oil. And that table is where the anointing is. My cup. In other words, you got a cup right there on the table, right? And my cup runs over with what? You're eating of the goodness, surely goodness and mercy. You're eating of the mercies of God. They shall follow me all the days of my life. Look, he's surrounded with enemies. And this is how he thinks, just like Elisha. Same thing with David. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. So in love, we're dwelling in the house of the Lord, and we're seeking him, loving him, walking with him. Guess what? No devil can conquer you. No way you're going to lose. No way. It's actually feeling sorry for the devil thing. All right, let's take calls tonight. Tonight. I'll take our first caller tonight, see what's going on. I'm the first caller here. For some reason, I'm not able to. Hang on a second. Six, four, five, nine, eight.
go here.
The mouse. I just want to make my computer work. The mouse. There it is. Give me a second here while I try to fix my computer issue. I don't know what's going on with it. It's not letting me click on things. Hang on a second. All right. 901-229. Who would talk to Ruth from, please?
Hi. This is Portia.
Okay, hang on just a second here, please.
Okay. You want me to take you off the... I took you off of Echo. Hello. Did I lose you, Randy?
All right, I got knocked off, I think. I got back on, but here I am. So who am I talking to here?
Portia.
Carissa?
Portia.
Oh, Portia. Hi, Portia. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How are you?
All right. How are you, Randy?
Doing pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's pray for you. All right. Let me meet you for a second here. Let's pray for you, and then we'll come back and... I'm having trouble with my computer. I'm having to click twice on it. I never normally have to do that. It's really weird. I'm not used to this. So it's just the first time this happened in a while. Maybe I need to readjust something here. I'm trying to figure it out what it is. So pardon me while I take just a minute here. Poor Shad. Hang on a second here. I'm sorry. All right, Portia, I don't know. I'm going to pray for you anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Portia tonight. God, we thank you for opening her eyes tonight, God, to show her the victory. Because when you walk in victory, even though we still struggle and have battles and all that, our hope never wanes. Our hope never really goes down. Our hope goes up. And I thank you, Jesus, for her hope going up, God, that you cause her to hope in ways that she's never hoped before, to see things like she's never seen them before, so that she will be able to, as God turns the tide, as God sometimes turning situations around, whether how big or small they are, has to do with what turns around in our mind, how that God begins to say, like he did with this servant, he opened up his eyes so he could see. And so sometimes we have our eyes opened up, or our mind opened up to see. So I thank you, Lord, for our calling Portia a seer tonight, to be able to see. I declare decree over her as that seer anointing, Father, in Jesus' name, that she will walk in it, that she will live in it, that you will be able to show her exceeding abundantly above all she could ever ask or even think or imagine, because she's able to see and not just think or hope or wonder, but know and be able to see, because when you see, you know. What you see, you know it. Seeing is knowing. Knowing is seeing. So we thank you, Lord, for that, for opening her eyes, God, and so she will see the victory and walk in that victory, God, because she sees it. And I pray right now, I break every spirit of blindness that might be blinding you from seeing at this new level, at this new place, in Jesus' name, where you will see in Jesus' name. I'm calling you a seer tonight to be able to see in Jesus' name. And when you see, you're able to hope at a seer's level, instead of a level of just like the servant who before he got, oh man, I know I'm with the man of God, but oh my God, you know, I hope we make it this time because it's looking pretty bad. And all of a sudden he got his eyes open and he could see. And when he saw, he was thrilled like Elisha was. Amen. So open up her eyes, God, to that new level, to that new place in Jesus' name, so she can see and that she can hope in what she sees through the Spirit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it is the evidence. You have evidence. You see the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So physically we don't see them, but our faith sees them. And I thank you, Lord, for that new level of faith in Jesus' name to bring her into that new place, like a marriage to you, God, like being married to you. And a new commitment or to you or something like that in Jesus' name. Open that up to her, God. Amen. A new level of purity, a new level of just like Isaiah. When Isaiah, though he was already a man of God, he was serving God. When God showed up in his glory, the glory cleanses him at a level that he'd never been cleansed before. All of a sudden he could see things and he knew things he'd never known before. He saw the uncleanness of people like he'd never seen before. He didn't see that before. All of a sudden he could see it. And he knew how to deal with it, to help people. Seeing is being able to help, not condemn or criticize or whatever. It is to help people. Amen. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The helper inside of her. All right. So what are you doing over there? Where are you at these days?
I'm out in Texas.
Oh, you're in the blessed state now.
Yes, I am.
I'm messing with you. Yeah. Okay. Now, you used to be in Florida, weren't you? Yeah.
I was in Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay, yeah, Tennessee. That's right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I thank you for that seeing because I think that is really like a lot of what I've been going through. I think I've been put in this place for a reason to actually see to be slowed down to know what's going on around me.
Wow.
And like
yeah.
usually things that I don't catch because I, you know, am too busy to, I'm going at a
right.
slower pace and I'm able to see like all this stuff that's going on around me. And also what I'm noticing is like, people who are doing really well around me, they'll tell me, because I'm not doing as well as them, that I can't relate to them. And so it doesn't make me feel bad when a person tells me, oh, you cannot relate because you're not doing what I'm doing.
Right.
It really makes me just understand that it's all kind of, you know, different people, and everybody has their own point of view, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like the Elijah's servant had a point of view. The view he saw wasn't good. Like, oh, my God, we're going to have the view that the prophet had, because he could see. Yeah, the way we see things really changes our perspective on everything. It does mine. If I'm not, you know, right now I've got stuff going on that I'm not down about it at all. It's kind of got me stirred up for a whole other realm of excitement. Literally, and I'm not being hyper-faithy or anything. I'm just telling you, it's literally what it's like. It's so cool, man. It's all the way we see things, right?
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
Yes.
So, Lord, I just pray tonight. We agree tonight for every person listening to the show that you will open up their eyes. Maybe their eyes have been opened up before on certain things, but now they're in a situation where they're going like, man, I can't really see any hope much. And I can't see a lot of help that's going around here. I can't see what you're talking about tonight, Randy. Can you? Lord, we just pray tonight, Portia and I agree in Jesus' name, not only for Portia and I to open up our eyes at a higher level, we can see more, but show those people tonight, wherever they're at, whatever they're surrounded by, or whatever surrounding them, that you will open their eyes tonight, Jesus, just like you did the servant, Elisha's servant. Open their eyes, God, so they can see that there really is more for us than there is against us. Oh, my God.
Amen.
So, amen, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Yeah. Because if you don't see, it's scary. If you don't see, it really is scary when you've got things. I've had things around me that before my eyes got open, I'll be honest with you, I'm going like, oh, my God, I'm going down now. If I never went down before,
know,
I'm going down now. Cause this is going to do it. You know,
I have a calm approach to it. You know, I got a real calm, like, mellow tone about it. Like, I ain't got to raise my voice to get stirred up. I could just, you know, I had to tell one person, week I had to say, I have learned that having a certain conversation with you makes you too emotional, that I'm just going to listen to you speak to me and just agree on whatever you're saying. And if I don't agree, I can just, you know, not get you, you know, roared up because I didn't agree with what you said, just to let it go, you know. I'm around so many people that just can't let go of the past. You know, the past is harboring them so much. You know? And it's,
Yeah, and when you've been defeated time and time again, sometimes when we go through what looks like defeat, like Jesus on the cross, he looked like he was being defeated, right? Joseph, when he was going through his thing, same thing with Job. What Job went through was horrendous, man. Lost everything in one day, everything, even a multimillionaire, lost everything in one day except his wife, who was grieving over the loss of her children and was freaked out, to say the least. You know, I mean, even with that, you know, they looked like they were losing. They looked like they had lost. But at the same time, like what was going on, when we read it now about Job especially, and any of them, Joseph, Jesus, all of them, when you read about Job, you see in the very beginning of the scripture, it says how it all starts. It's not because Job feared something. It says, God says to Satan, have you considered trying to mess with my boy over here? Job. And the devil goes, yeah, I sure have, but you got the hedge of protection. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove the hedge of protection, because the big test was how Job saw everything. And like God was going to Satan, he said, I'm going to show you that my boy over here, Job, he sees things different from the people you've been messing with, and you're going to see that. So sure enough, what happened? he lost everything. He was left with his wife, and even his wife said, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Like you haven't done anything wrong? Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's what she said. And he goes, you know, he says, "Honey, I'm sorry. I know you're grieving, but you really messed up right now. I'm not going to listen to that." But so what happened was Job finally says, just like God told, you know, Satan, like, you know, he didn't really say these words to him. It's like, "I'm going to show you that my boy sees things differently than all the other people he messed with." So what happened? He said, Job says, "Though you slay me, yet will I praise you." He goes, "See, I told you, devil, my boy sees things different than your other boy that you messing with." It's the way we see things.
Yeah.
We may be defeated, it seems like, yeah.
It's kind of like that brain thing that you were talking about earlier. Like if you can't if you can't renew your brain to think differently than what everybody else, you know, think of it. I'll tell you this quick little story. My little son, he played what it is, Little League football, and he was a running back. And I think I told you about that last time. Well, he turned a year older, and now I got him running track. Season does not start until, you know, going to fall. So he's doing all this conditioning, like from now until, you know, June or whatnot, and he get in the car and he can't move this and he can't move that, and he don't know that I've just pre-started him ahead for conditioning now, so when he gets the conditioning, it's in the fall he will not be so exhausted by conditioning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
great.
It's like you have to properly plan what it says. It's a saying. It says
preparation.
Preparation. Prepare for poor performance. Prevent poor performance. So that's it.
Like, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
wow.
You have to know that if you plan things accordingly, that it'll all fall into place eventually. Not saying that we all know where we're going, because we all get to certain places at different times.
Yeah, when you're going through the heat of the battle, you're not going to be wore out like everybody else and sore like everybody. You may be a little bit sore, but they're going to be, "Oh, I can't hardly move, man." And you're sitting there going, "Yeah, I'm a little bit sore, but hey, I'm ready to go, baby, let's go." Because your body's prepared. I did that before. I was a walk-on at in Eastern New Mexico University football, because when I got saved, that's what I wanted to do, is play ball. So I know what it takes, right? I've been playing ball all my life. So I went out all by myself, ran the bleachers, up and down the bleachers, ran 40s until I'd made myself sick, you know. And then when I got to college and started playing ball, you know, all these other guys have been drinking and partying, and I used to do the same thing, so I can't say anything. And I am like, even though I can run a fast 40, but I'm not really fast after that. So, but I'm out running these guys, and they're wore out, you know, it was amazing to watch, because they were sore. I wasn't sore. I already got through the sore stuff. I was prepared. Like what do you call that? Prevent what?
Okay, I got it right now. I got the kids over for spring break, and they kind of in the middle of it, but it's proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Prevent poor performance. Woo! I like that.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yes. So that's just what I say. Like if if a person feels like that they're not where they're supposed to be at the moment that they should be, that with time, if you have, it's kind of like perseverance. If you know you're building up for something great, then you don't worry about the negative aspect that comes right in front of you. Like, you should be focused on this. That's a distraction. So the distraction just doesn't work when you're focused on your goal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah, and that's what I tell people about preparing for the coming battles. If you think you're going to be taken out of everything and you're not going to go through anything, then you're not going to be prepared. Oh, God will bless them anyway, Brother Chandler, you know, that religious spirit. And I used to say the same thing. I used to say the same thing. They'll be just fine. No, they won't. They're going to be freaking out. They're going to be – they may make it, but they're barely going to make it because those that are prepared and ready, they're going to prevent a lot of that thing you said, prevent something else.
You know one thing about it, Brother Randy, if they barely make it, they're going to feel like once they get there that everybody else trying to take it from them. They're going to be saying, they trying to take my spot. Oh, I don't post. They don't feel like I'm supposed to be here. They're going to have all that. When they barely make it, that's how they feel. But it's just that you got to change. You got to change your thought process. You got to become bigger than what you actually see.
And that's what preparation does. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. It's like you get that you get that confidence that you're ready. You may not be perfectly ready for everything, but you're ready to be ready. And people who are not ready to be ready, when it hits them, they're gonna be trying to figure out how to get ready. When you're already kind of ready to get ready.
Yep. When I was talking to my friend last week, and my friend told me that, oh, you don't know how I feel to be in this spot because you ain't dealing with it. And I told my friend, I said, I'm gonna give you a scenario. It's online. It says if you put a shark in a fishbowl, it will not outgrow that fishbowl. But if you throw the shark in the ocean, it'll grow as big as it wants to. So the difference is between the thought process of it, that if you don't be the shark knows not to become bigger than that fishbowl.
Yeah.
But it got a mind of its own in the ocean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it knows it can't get bigger. It actually kind of knows it can't. You know, I don't know if it knows it can't get bigger. What the process
of
it?
Space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty cool. I really believe in preparation. I know that John the Baptist prepared for Jesus, and people think preparation not that big of a deal. Like, if they're not prepared, if they even think they're going to get out of all their troubles, you know, God's going to rapture them out, or they're not going to go through all this stuff. They're not going to go through any problems. Then they're going to be ready for it. And so that's it. Period. Mm-hmm. Can they get ready for it? Right. If you're having to get ready for it right in the midst of the real, if you didn't prepare in the military, if you just kind of slopping around and flopping around and barely made it, and you go to war, you're more likely going to get killed than the other guys because, you know, and then you get in the middle of the war, and then you think, oh my gosh, I wish I'd have prepared better. So you got to get prepared in the middle of the battle. And that's really difficult to do.
Right. Yep. Well, I know you got to get to the rest of them, but I just wanted to, you know,
thank you.
Get that out and let it flow out, and that's just how it is.
I love it, girl. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful. Yeah, I'm really into that, and I talk to people about that, and a lot of people think, just like I thought, well, you know, God is with you. It don't make any difference whether you're prepared or not. Yeah, God can bring you through it, and you may make it. But why not be able to be used and help win the battle instead of like being a pain in the neck in the middle of the battle? Oh, well, we got to pet so and so because they're not prepared. Oh, poor little baby, we got to go and pet them, like, you know. And they could have been used powerfully in the midst of the battle instead of like having to get prepared. And by the time the battle's over, they're prepared, but the battle's over, so they didn't really get any conquering done. They didn't win any battles. They just kind of like they were a pain in the neck. They were nothing but, you know.
It's like what you were saying just a minute ago, being on the battlefield. They was at war the whole time with themselves, trying to figure out what to do. But if you going through a war, you don't know what is right and what is wrong because you're like, I'm trying to survive myself right now. I am thinking about survival, you know?
Because in training, you don't die. You may think you're going to die. In training, they'll make you think you're going to die. They're really good at it. But in the real war, you will die. And that's the difference.
What?
And if you're not ready, then you're more likely going to die. Oh, yeah, you go to heaven and all that. But just think of all the things, all the blessings and all the conquering you missed, all the victories you missed that you could have been a part of instead of everybody having to pet you, poor little thing, because she's not ready or he's not ready. So we have a little special camp for those people, and it's called the camp of the lukewarmers. They weren't ready for anything.
Lukewarmers. There you go, lukewarmers.
Yep. Gonna spew them right out, and I know God loves everybody, but when it comes to real war, what good are they going to be? They're going to be having to get prepared in the middle of the war. That's what preparation is for. Is when you get preparation before the war, so that when you're in the actual war and you're going to die, it's real life and death. Yeah. So anyway, good job, girl. You got me stirred up now. I may talk about that all night long now.
I'm okay with it, Randy. Look, long as it got out and we knew what we were saying, because what I end up doing when I finish talking with you, I listen to the next couple of callers and I listen to see if we all are aligning. It's somewhere we all got something going on. None of us our story will be alike. But we all got something that we're going
through. Right. It's all preparation. We got to see it as preparation instead of we think in the preparation in training. We're going to die. Some people do die in training because they die of a heart attack, but they're going to die of bullets. They're going to die because of the enemy, because there is no enemy. The enemy seems like it's the sergeants and all the people that are today. You're going to run 10 miles. You know, are you going to be out? You have to crawl under this barbed wire fence for 3 hours. You know. We think that they feel like they're our enemy, but they're not really our enemy. They're training us. And sometimes the situation that we're being trained in, we just think it's the enemy trying to do. And really, it's God trying to use the things that we're going to face in the future in real warfare.
That's right.
And so we're trying to make the sergeants and the United States Army that's trying to train us and get us ready. We're trying to say they're the enemy because that's what it feels like sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. All right, girl, I'm gonna let you go before I get wound up, and we'll be on that one all night.
Okay. Okay.
I love it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay.
Glad you got that thing going on over there. All right. Bye bye. All right, thank you. All right, let's go here to 334-403. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Prophet Randy. This is Sonia from Alabama.
Hey, Alabama girl. Did you go to the conference that they had? Or the revival?
It's still coming up.
Oh, okay.
It's
well, I'm doing good. How are you doing? What's going on? You have to talk to your phone real good so I can hear you. So.
All right. Can you give me that number?
Yes. Let me give that to you, and you can call them, and they might be able to help you go to another level. That'd be awesome. Here it is right here. I found this tonight. I just listened to this tonight for the first time. It's on Daystar Network, and it's the number is 719-278-3708. And it's called Sarasate. Yeah, 719-278-3708. And it's called Cresett, Sarasate. I think that – I don't know what that means exactly. I just watched it tonight. I got on the show. It ended up – the show ended, and then I started my show, so I hadn't had a chance to research anything on it. But I think that Sarasate probably means cerebral reset. Of the brain, yeah. Check that thing out, man. They might be able to help people who've had strokes. I never thought about that.
Yeah, how much is it? Do you know?
I do not have a clue. I've never even heard of it before until tonight. I don't normally watch Daystar lately, I just happened to turn it on. I went there instead of watching. I like to watch when I'm trying to relax and do nothing. I watch tennis. That's what I do. I watch tennis. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I like what I watch tennis. But I turned on Daystar, and they said tonight we're going to have a gentleman who invented a brainwave thing. It's going to. I ain't going to miss that one. So, sure enough, it really was very good. And his name is Lee Gerber. And hopefully this will turn out to be okay. I think Joni and her crew checked it out, so hopefully it's all good. But the testimonies that they talked about were people that have been messed up for years. And within 4 or 5 of their treatments, they put this thing on your scalp or your head or something, and it sends sound waves made from music, of all things. He explained it a little bit. Made from music. And they adjusted the sound waves, and somehow or another it helps to reset the brain. Isn't that cool?
Okay, let me repeat this number, because sometimes I write, since I had this stroke, I write down the phone number. 719-278-3078.
No. The last four numbers you got. It's 3708. 3708.
Okay.
Let me give it to you again, because I know I'm the same way. I do this myself. 719, you got that right. 278-3708. 3708.
Okay.
Repeat that back to me. Make sure we get it right.
All right. 719-278-3708.
Ah, we got it. Together. Good job. And yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoyed that, but I want you to pray. As God speak to you, whatever he speaks to you, I'm going to receive it.
Okay. All right. I'll pray for you, and then I guess I'll move on. Okay, yeah. And the name of that thing is, I'm going to pray for you now. I'm going to mute you now. And the name of that is called Cerestet, C-E-R-E-S-E-T, Cerestet, like you set, like C. E-R-E-S-E-T. Sarah Reset. C-E-Reset. C-E-Reset. And it's in Colorado at the Garden of the Gods. I know that's like that's a place you visit in Colorado. Because there's no gods. There's only one god. But that's just an event place, I think, that they have. All right. So check it out. And I'm turning you guys on to it. I have not checked it out. Like I said, I watched it right before the show started. It ended at 9, and I started at 9, so I haven't had a chance to look into any of it. The guy's name is Lee. I think I gave it a second ago. Lee Gerbs, G-E-R-B-S. Lee Gerbs, G-E-R-B-S. So check it out. Let me know what you find out. I haven't had a chance to check anything out. So the fact they had it on there, and I think Joni and her new husband, I'm sure, checked that out before they talked about it. So at least we can get it out there. Hopefully we'll be able to help the people. And like he talked about, Sonia, and his in his process of figuring it out, it took a couple of years for him to test it. You know, once he got it working, then he had to test it out on certain things. That's the same thing I'm doing. It's like, the thing that he does, let's talk about what he does. People who have problems, their brain has been, you know, damaged somehow or another through shock or through, you know, an accident or whatever, maybe even like in your case, you know, having a stroke. I don't know about strokes, but maybe that might be one of their major things. I don't even know. I hope so. But what they do is they get, if the brain get offset through a stroke or offset through an accident or offset, you know, out of balance through some kind of horrific accident or whatever, or some kind of trauma, then this thing, after 3 or 4 or 5, I think they're like 5 times, you go 5 times, and it resets your brain. thought that was amazing, man. And the way they talk about it is that this whole process, and it doesn't take months and years, takes, from what I understood, it takes about 4 to 5, maybe more time, maybe a few more times than that, to get your brain to reset and start healing itself. And so that's really good. What I'm doing is I think, completely different. We're not looking for setting the brain back to be balanced only. We are, what I'm doing is we are, let's say you get the brain balanced and healing itself. We're the thing I'm doing, the thing God's had me doing, is we're getting the brain to where it goes from normal, you know, just working normal, to working super normal, like using 100% of your brain. That's where that's where I'm headed with all this, as God has been supernaturally speaking it to me. And so I thought that was very interesting. I want to turn you guys on to that tonight. So we pray for tonight for Sonia. God, we thank you that as this thing that she's gone through with her, she had a stroke and she's causing her difficulties. And we thank you, Jesus, for how far she's recovered. We thank you, Lord, for that. We give you praise and glory. We take the bread, we bless it, we break it, and we give you thanks for what you've done with her and her life, Jesus, and the future you have for her, God, that you are, you know, rearranging her life, just like maybe when the brain gets reset, it starts healing itself. I thank you, Lord, for bringing that place to where she, bringing her to that place to where she starts getting things balanced out and reset so that her life can begin to be healed completely, so she can help heal other people. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every satanic mind battle that she's going through. I try to mess with her brain, mess with her mind. In Jesus' name, most of the time, if the enemy can get in our brain, the brain is everything. The battle's in the mind, right? Mind, the battle is in the mind. The mind is the battleground. And if Satan can get into the mind and get your mind to thinking wrong, then you'll be doing wrong, or, you know, messing up or thinking the wrong ways. That's why he goes for the brain. He knows this more than anybody. He didn't go for the leg and feet. No, he goes for the brain. You know, that's why they say the battleground is the mind. And I'm calling it the mind and the brain. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. And we take authority over Satan in Jesus' name from taking advantage of anything with her. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus. We speak peace to her. We speak glory to her. We speak honor and praise to Jesus in her life, God, that you're going to bless her, multiply her, increase her, and bless her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. 804-218. Who am I talking to your friend, please?
Virginia. Can you hear me?
That's right. Yes.
And Virginia. And can you give me that number? I know you've done it like 5 times, but
that's okay.
Every pick I picked up was out of ink.
I understand. Hey, I don't mind at all. You know me. I have to have it several times myself. All right. Here's the number again, and everybody will listen and try to write it down. If you don't get it, when I get to you, we'll give it to you again, because I want you to get this. And then maybe, okay, here you go. The phone number is 719-278-3708. 3708. 719-278-3708. All right, now repeat it back to me. I'm going to make sure you got it, girl.
719-278-3708.
Yes, ma'am. And that's called Ceresete, C-E-R-E-S-E-T, Garden of the Gods. It's a place there in Colorado. Go ahead.
C-E-R, and I always miss that last part, even when you
that's
say
okay.
It. That's
okay, yeah. Yeah, I know. Sometimes the audio is C-E-R-E-S-E-T. Ceresete. C-E-R-E-S-E-T. It's kind of like C-E-Reset. C-E-Reset.
Okay.
Or capital C. Yeah, capital C, capital E, reset, R-E-S-E-T. All right,
okay.
Man. Isn't that awesome, though? When that, I just heard it for the first time tonight. That, I don't think anybody, I don't know anybody knows about that. It's pretty cool. Have you ever heard, you know, obviously you haven't heard of it either, but.
I've been investigating, I've done some, in fact, when Mike was sick, I put him on the a machine that came from think it was from Sweden, and it was dealing with frequency waves, and it dealt with the cancer, but it couldn't undo the damage from the treatment because how did they put it? The maximum radiation.
Oh,
so
okay.
Tried to tell him not to do it, but he didn't listen. So it was, the cancer never came back, but we were dealing with the radiation.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Now, see, I didn't know that. That's mind-boggling.
I pay for the guy to come here and do frequency waves on him, and the cancer was totally... He spit up one tumor, the other one shrunk to almost nothing. And, of course, the doctors thought they did it, but I know, because they said, lady, we're just a year.
So how many treatments did he have? And did they just kind of put something on, that put a couple of things on his skull and his brain and turn it on and he watched it? Or how did it work?
It was around his ankles, his wrist, and his head. It sent waves throughout his whole body.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting. And he actually threw up the how long did it take? How many times did they have to do it, or how long?
Well, it was kind of pricey, so I think I did 3 months. It started out twice a week, dropped down to once a week, and then, you know, I think for the first couple of months it was like a twice a week thing, and then it dropped down to once a week, and then a maintenance, and then, you know, I ran out of, you know, funds, but it was enough to take care of it. But it was it was expensive. But the guy paid a lot for the machine too. So, you know, and it was the sound wave. And actually, it wasn't available. You couldn't buy it here.
In the U.S., you mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, he was from Sweden. How did you find him?
Through my friend Judy.
Okay.
That was...
Well, how did she know? Did she need it or something, or she just happened to...
She was a pastor of a church. She went to Israel, and when she came back, came back for a visit or something, and she told me about it, called him up, and he lived like 4 blocks from me.
Oh my gosh.
No, so it was kind of convenient. He did give me a discounted rate, but you know, I couldn't carry it on, but the radiation is what took Mike out.
Yeah.
It was like keeping one piece at a time, you know. It was too much damage done from the radiation that he got. Because they gave him they gave him a lethal dose. And I asked Mike what part of lethal you didn't understand. But, you know.
Yeah.
His mom overheard the voice of his wife. That's all I could say. Because, you know, I said, nobody, I said, you're not going, I said, they already told you what their outcome's going to be. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't get along.
Oh, my God.
That we didn't get along on. You know, I didn't want to go for that, but it wasn't my choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's their life. They have, if they decide they're going to do something, nothing you can do about it.
Right, you know.
Except, cry maybe or something.
Carry the luggage for the trip. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's about all you can do. But anyway.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that existed. I mean, you've never said that before. I didn't even know, you know, you just told a part of the story I've never even heard.
Randy, there's so many stories in my life and moments that you would, I mean, you know, it's one desperate moment to the next. Are you kidding?
Bless your heart. My gosh. Well, I need you to quit holding stuff back on me now. Next time you tell me something I haven't heard, I'm going to get upset. Okay? Remember that.
I only release it when it comes through. It has to come through the gate.
Okay. All right. I guess I need to get a better key or something. I don't know. Something like that. Wow. Unbelievable. That's amazing. I did not even know that stuff. I didn't even know. I mean, when I started talking about my brain thing, you know, and I said, I can't tell you what it is because some of y'all might, I don't know if you'd be able to do it or not, but if you did and you ruined yourself, I'd be in trouble. I'd feel like a bad, you know, like I did something wrong. So I can't tell you that part of it, but I try to tell people what I could tell them. And that's the same thing that happened with him. He said when he was doing it and he found out that it worked, then for 2 years he had to experiment with it, or I can't use the word experiment, to test it. And, you know, it's not just something you, oh, I got it, here you go, come and get it, you know. It's a little bit, there's a little bit more to it than that. The thing that's different than my stuff, as I've said a couple times already tonight, is that they normalize your brain, which is amazing if your brain's not normalized. I mean, it's miraculous. There's some people that had brain damage, and they, you know, there was no hope for them. And they did a couple, 4 or 5 times, whatever it was, and they were completely normal, man. I mean, my God, when I heard that, I went, dear God, where has this stuff been hiding at? And so, but our stuff, the stuff that I'm doing, is not just making you normal. It's what we're doing is making normal and then adding, taking your whole brain to normal. Because I think that the 10% or whatever, there's no proven fact that we just use 10% of our brain, but the general thinking is we only use 10% of our brain. If we're really smart, we're using 10%. So my thing is that, you know, we want to get everybody to using 100% of the brain, and they're just trying to get people back to normal, which is 10%, which is pretty cool. But we're doing a thing of activating the full brain. That's what I'm working on. And it's actually, you know, it's changed. I'm getting younger, Angie. I'm having people tell me that, and I know they're not lying to me because it's the people that I don't even know, and they have no reason to suck up to me. And I said, oh yeah, I start bragging about being 70 these days. I would have normally never done that. I'd have tried to act like I was 60. You know, I said, yeah, I'm 70 and a half. They go like, you're what? You're lying. No, I promise. Some people even ask for my driver's license. What's happening is that I'm getting younger. That's the only way I can explain it. I'm getting younger, girl. It's mind-boggling.
Well, the brain can release the healing and throughout. And, you know, if you go back to the beginning, first of all, the way I talked Mike into it was that God created with the sound of his voice, and there has to be something in the sounds.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's exactly what this guy did, and he put it together with music.
And if they live 900 years back in the day, what caused the decline and the decay? The lack of ability of renewing your mind, which your mind renews your strength. It gives you, it sends out it's the messaging center throughout your whole body. Your mind is telling your thyroid to function. Your mind is telling your different parts of your body. It even tells you, and you don't know that your mind's telling you to breathe, your heart to beat, but it is.
Wow. Yeah, they say this. What happens with dementia is that what you end up dying of is that your brain no longer remembers to tell your heart to beat, or something like that. Is that true? Something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Because you start losing your memory. Losing your memory is a sign that your brain is not telling your body what to do. You know, like you said, breathe.
This happens with a lot
heartbeat.
Of them. Is they lose the thought. You know, when you're born, you have to be coerced to eat. You know, the mother, you know, will rub on the cheek or whatever and teach the child to eat. Forget to eat. They forget all of that. And if somebody's there to feed you, you decline even faster because, you know, in the facilities, which most people end up in, is no one feeds them.
Oh.
No. There's a lot of things that people think, you know, on the outside looking in, but once you get on the inside of things, you realize that it's not what you thought it was.
You mean they don't feed them on purpose or the people don't want to eat?
Well, they have a right to choose, but they don't know what to choose because they have dementia.
I see. I got you. So they choose not to eat, and therefore they don't make them eat.
And there's no and they don't have time if a person has forgotten, you know, how to swallow to tell them to, you know, to coax them to swallow it. You know, there's a lot in
right.
that brain function that takes place even in the eating process. And they don't have time to spend 2 and 3 hours feeding a patient.
Right. Yeah.
Or, you know, and really,
once you go there, you just kiss it goodbye.
Yeah, once your mind, once you're that much in a decline,
yeah,
there's not much fight on the other side to continue. So
right.
once you
well, they've seen so much,
do certain self-sufficiency, they don't assist in it.
Right.
And that's
you got to listen to you got to listen to this. Yeah, I had some amazing things happen. What's happening is the more my brain comes alive or wakens up or whatever's going on with it, you start feeling everything. I mean, I'll feel things. Okay, here's what I want to say. With my feet, with walking, what's happening in the last, it's happened to me off and on during the process. But just the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that my brain is telling me how to walk differently. And I can feel it in my feet. Like, I feel my feet going, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, but my feet are telling me to walk like this. And I can feel it in my foot. Isn't that weird? And so it's like I'm even walking differently. And what's happening is I'm walking with more easily. I'm walking easier, which doesn't make any sense, but because we don't think it's hard to walk, but when you're, as your brain kicks in, as my brain's been kicking in at higher level, it's showing me how I'm walking differently, like more at peace, more at rest, more easily. It's easier. That's all I can describe it.
That makes sense. Because in the natural or the unnatural of the aging process that we're going through, because death is the enemy of God too. If he calls it his enemy, it's our enemy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, your body, as it tries to compensate or to ease one part, will weaken another part to help. So it makes sense that if your knee is kind of not aligned for whatever reason, then it's going to affect the ankle, and the ankle affects all of the phalanges that go down to your toes, and they're not bending as much. You can watch at different stages of how the body functions or the lack of function.
Right. And what I've noticed is, and this is all stuff that I'm just observing. I don't even have a clue what I'm doing, right? I'm literally observing this. And what's happening with my feet and my walking is that I'm walking with my whole foot or something. I don't know if I can describe it. Instead of walking with part of my foot, you know, which makes no sense, I'm walking with all my foot.
Right.
Which means my whole foot is Hang on a second. So my whole foot is carrying the weight of my body, which makes it easier. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
My whole foot equally carries the weight of every little ounce of my body, which makes it easy. So I'm not having 20% of my foot trying to take on 100% of my body weight.
That makes
sense.
And if
somebody would have told me that was going on, I mean, I would have said, yeah, right, okay, I believe you. Yeah, I'm trying to believe you, but, you know. But what's actually happening to me, so I know that that's what's going on.
Right. You have to come in when you rub the oils and stuff on your feet. They tell you to massage your if you look at the anatomy books, they'll tell you that the massaging of the fingertips is connected to the different organs. Like your middle one is to your lungs and your intestinal part, and massaging your fingers.
Oh.
And working those and in your feet, because, you know, the nerves are continuous throughout your body in the flow. And anywhere where it has a break or a lack of connection or a blockage, if you can massage, that's why the body massages and the, you know, the different different pressure points.
The techniques,
you know, a little bit of that going through, you know, trying to recover from the accident. They would show
right.
me the different pressure points to hold and just hold it for like, you know, maybe 15, 20 seconds, putting pressure to it, not a lot, just touching it, would make that reconnect and release the muscle that was spasming around that. It's really weird. The body is magnificently made.
Yeah, no kidding.
And
yeah, what if
there
they,
are
yeah,
factors in
yeah,
the
one,
connection.
One of things, yeah, the connection. Let's go there for a second. That's one of the things that's happening to me right now. As I do my thing to my body, you know, to my brain, actually, you know, I'll feel... You know, from my brain, I'm just dealing with my brain, right? I'll feel some part of my spinal cord. I'll feel something, you know, even though I'm not touching my spinal cord, I'll feel something that my brain is connecting to that part of my spinal cord, and I'll feel something go, you know, like, here, I'll feel it do something. And I'm going like, okay, I would feel it off and on, here and there, not much, you know, even though I use the same thing. So what's happening just the last few days is that I'm starting to feel the length of the nerves. Like I can tell that I can feel the, instead of feeling a little bit of part of the nerve where it kind of touches you something and makes it feel good or it makes you feel bad, I'm feeling like the whole nerve, like from the top to the bottom. You know, instead of one little spot here, like we have pain spots or pleasure spots, you know, and you'll feel a little spot. I'm starting to feel the whole nerve that runs up and down my spinal cord, girl. That just happened actually today, the last couple of days. And I'm going like, wow, something's, I don't know what's happening because I've never done this before. Whatever's happening, it's my spinal cord and my nerves and my spinal cord, which I know are the communicators to the rest of your body, are doing something. So there's a new communication and a new sensitivity to communicating in my spinal cord.
Well, your spinal cord holds the spinal fluid. Your spinal fluid goes from your tailbone up into your cerebral. So it's connected
to the brain.
Oh,
the brain, yeah.
Yeah.
Cerebral, okay. Wow.
So, yeah. So it's amazing what I've learned through the years dealing with stuff, but also with just myself.
You've learned a lot,
you know.
I can tell. You know more than I do. I'm just the one experiencing this stuff. This is like and I'm just talking a couple of things. I'm not really. There's so much, I can't keep up with all of it. But today it was very, because I've always felt little when I'm messing with my brain. I've always felt it, all of a sudden a little part of my spinal cord would get warm, or I'd feel a little tingle. usually kind of tingles. And I feel a tingle here and a tingle there. Like, okay, whatever that is, man, that's cool. That feels really great. And then instead of going from spots, it's up and down my whole spinal cord. I mean, the first time I was today, yesterday, today, maybe, I felt like what it happened. I could see the length of my spinal cord, and I could see the nerve from top to the bottom, basically. You know, like you said, about to my hip area, up from my brain to my hip area. I could see that thing. You know, I could feel it. When I feel it, I saw it. That's the only way I can describe it. And, man, when that happened to me today and I felt that, which I've never felt that particular thing before, I felt little spots, but never the whole thing. I'm going like, man, this is working, man. And then of all things, I turn on Daystar Network. That had just happened to me the last couple of days, which is a big breakthrough in knowing that I'm getting somewhere with this. Tonight we're going to have Lee Gerber on with the new brain invention that's healing people. I'm going, oh, my God, I got to watch this, you know. And sure enough, you know, the number I gave you guys, that's the first time I've ever heard of it. And they start talking about the brain. He started talking about the brain and some of the things that go on with people. And I said, and I already knew all that stuff, not because I read it, because it's happening to me, you know. Except we're going to take it not just to making to normalize people. We're taking it to from normalization, equal balance, you know, the brain, whatever they call that, to, you know, hopefully 100%, you know, 100-fold, as the Bible talks about, where I got the revelation, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold understanding. I don't know where I'm at on it, but I'm moving up, girl. That's all I can say. You better watch it. You better move back. Because I'm moving up. Thank you,
moving
Jesus.
Moving on up. he says, I fashioned and knitted you in your mother's womb. There's a lot to be discovered about the human body.
Oh, my gosh. It is amazing. I'm just thrilled with this. Like you said, like we try to heal the leg or heal the spine or whatever, and like I'm finally realizing that the reason that the Bible talks about the battlegrounds in the mind, I'm bringing that to the brain now. It's the brain.
Right.
You know, the brain and the mind, they're the same thing, but the Bible talks about the mind. I'm talking about the brain. Man, if you get the brain working, it's all going to work itself out. That's what they talk about tonight. That's the only thing I know. Because I've been watching things happen as my brain has been coming more alive. What like they said on the show tonight, they said when your brain, it begins to heal itself. It starts healing itself. And your body just starts, you know, along with it, coming together. But what's happening, like that's what I'm doing. What I'm doing is taking it to the level where it's beyond natural. I mean, my own wife told me, she said, you're starting to bend over a little bit, old man. That's what she told me. You women are nothing but a bunch of, you know, mouthy truth tellers, and we don't always like it. And so she said, you're starting to bend over. She said, I am too. I went, oh, you are? I didn't notice. So you need to start. Yeah, this is what Julie told me. You need to straighten up, you know. So I tried to do that. Of course, it wasn't working very well, according to her at least. And so what's happened is I've noticed lately that since I've been doing my brain thing, that whatever I've been doing with the brain is fixing that or has already fixed it. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
Which makes sense of my spinal cord.
Right. So, well, the thing of it is that your brain controls all the functions, and it sends the message throughout your body through the messengers, which is, you know, life is in the blood. You know, they say, you know, they have a hard time crossing the blood-brain barrier. But once you can get that connected again, there's no reason the science has already concluded that there's no reason for with the way our bodies can repair itself, that there's no reason for death to exist.
Okay, I got kicked off. I got kicked
you
off.
You got kicked
back
off.
Back up. I didn't hear a word you said, so, yeah, I got kicked off. So please repeat that for my sake, please.
I said that the blood-brain barrier is real.
Oh.
And
I heard a little bit about that. What is that? Go ahead.
Well, your life is in the blood.
Right.
And in your brain, if your brain is not able to send the signals throughout your blood that's connected to that river of life that's running through you, if your brain cannot communicate, then it starts to decline.
You fall apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That science can't even figure out why, because we regenerate. Our cells regenerate. The old ones die. The new ones come forth. But if it produced a bad cell, then that bad cell will reduplicate itself, because it's a damaged cell that thinks it's fine. If that makes sense. But science has looked at the human body and said that they can't figure out why there's no reason for us to die. It is designed to keep continue to live because of the way
right.
the cells die a bad cell that duplicates will duplicate more bad cells.
I see. Right, but a cell that duplicates good cells, that's what we want to keep doing.
Right, but your brain has to, you know, say that's not a good cell. We're going to change that.
Oh, okay. And if the brain's not saying that or communicating that, which is, I know, is a big thing. Well, if your blood's
right.
not flowing, if your blood, this is kind of how I picture it, and I try to explain to people how I'm learning about it, is that it's not that your brain is dead, the parts of it that we're not using, the other 90% or whatever it is. It's not that it's dead. It's just getting so little life. It's like you when you fall asleep and you go to sleep, you know, and you get up and you wake up and you haven't had enough food, you haven't had enough anything. You're going like, I gotta get, and people say, "What'd you say?" Because you can't even talk, you can't communicate, you can't do anything, and so that's the same thing the brain does. It's like that's what I'm doing, is that God is showing me how to activate the brain so that it gets blood flowing through it, not just burying it enough to keep from dying, or your brain would start stinking from being dead. So it doesn't stink. That's because it's not dead, but it's just asleep because it's not getting any food. So it's just slowly dies.
Well, a lot of carotid arteries in your neck, and they get occluded by, I mean, we already know we're getting foods with things that are toxins. We're
right.
getting, you know, the sounds make a difference. That, you know, they've already proven frequency waves, you know, can create cancer cells if you're listening to stuff that creates cancer cells. That's why God said he was, you know, remember when I called you and I was plowing snow and I said, you know,
yeah.
that God told me about the snow falling, that it took the sound out of the air. It captured it and brought it down.
Yeah.
And it changes, and it changes the decimal of the sound throughout. And it really, the snow changes the vibration of the sounds that's released. It says that every word you speak will not turn void. It means that sound reverberate, tenuous. That's why it says watch your words. You know, so when you start breaking it down, when you take the puzzle apart, like, you know, take it piece by piece, you know, because I have to, you know, that's one of the things I do is, like, you know, I really, you know, keep thinking and thinking and thinking and, you know, keep taking the piece and piece
right.
and piece, you know, to get to make it so I can understand it. It drives everybody else crazy. But I'm the one that has to understand. I'm not trying to convince you of nothing. I'm talking to me. And you're just, you know, hearing the conversation.
Same thing with me, yeah. I talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes I repeat things because I'm trying to think, now, what did I just say? Let's say that again. Like, you know, cause I call it chewing the cud also. You know, when you get information, if you don't get all the information out of the information, we get a little bit of information, we think that's it. Well, that thing is, you know, like chewing a broccoli stick, you know, like a broccoli. You know, you're chewing that thing and you're getting, you know, you chew it up for a little bit and then you swallow it and you got like 10% of what that thing had. But if you chew it and keep chewing it and keep chewing it and keep chewing it and keep breaking down the thing where your body can break it down, you're going to get 100% of what that broccoli has to offer you. And so that's, to me, is the thing with words, with information. And I'm kind of learning how to, you know, process it, even though it irritates people that, because I think he forgot what he said because he keeps repeating himself. No, I haven't forgot anything. It's just God is saying, chew that again, Chandler. You've only got 10% of the information that I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you 100%, like 3,600% understanding. I want you to chew it again. So I'm going, okay, let's chew it again. And sure enough, I mean, within the last few months, what's happening with me personally is that, you know, we all have pieces of puzzles in our life. Maybe some of it God gave us, maybe some of it we still don't have. But what's happening with me lately is I can tell that my brain is working completely different because pieces of the puzzle just come to me like overwhelming, like boom, 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 boom. I'm going like, oh, my God, slow that down. Because my brain is processing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, that things so much faster. So it doesn't take me a week to put a 100 piece of puzzle together. It takes about an hour, you know, like me, 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 me. Oh, my God. I'm sitting there going, slow down. Yeah. And like, oh, my God, you know, I mean, I can hardly handle it, you know. And it's so amazing. So the processor, I've talked about this lately, my brain is processing so much faster. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to do you a whole lot of it does you some good, but it doesn't do you God good. But when you have the Holy Spirit with you, with a brain that's functioning, you know, hopefully one of these days 100-fold, man, we're going to be like, we'll process so much information. Like, it took me a year to process a little bit of information. Now it takes me, you know, 15 seconds to process that information. You know, done. Instead of like 1 year later, I'm going like, hey, y'all, you ain't going to believe this revelation I got. I got about a year ago, and I finally got it, man. And, you know, a year later. Now it's like, you know, 15 seconds, 15 minutes, maybe an hour later, like you got the whole thing, you know, put together before, you know, it's like, oh, my God, that's how your brain, if it's functioning fuller, it processes, it puts the pieces of the puzzle together faster.
And especially
if you handle
the
stock.
Like... So, you know, when you're practicing and studying truth and truth is being revealed to you, then truth is running through you and it's going into your brain. Because why would God tell you to renew your brain if it wasn't possible?
That's good. Yeah, really good point.
You know.
That's a really good point. And why would he tell us we could have 3,600-fold understanding? That's the first revelation that I got, you know, several years ago when I was at the old studio. I remember talking about this. I saw that movie, which I can't remember which one I had first, the revelation first or what, I can't remember. Anyway, so I read it one day, 3,600-fold understanding. It's not talking about money or anything. It's talking about understanding. I'm going, oh, my God, you're trying to tell me I can understand 100%? Yeah, Jesus said it. So that got me all stirred up. And got me to thinking about it, and that's when it kind of opened me up to this whole rant. And the Lord says, "I'm gonna help you get 100% limitless." Yeah, thank you, Nicole. Yeah, the name of that movie is called Limitless. And if you watch the movie, I recommend you do it through VidAngel because it has a few little places in it pretty rough. But VidAngel takes out everything that might be rough. What you can take out anything you want in VidAngel if you watch the movie through VidAngel that would bother you. So watch it through VidAngel if you can. But anyway. So that whole thing, and now, so it's not that I'm following somebody's instruction except the instructions of people that I follow is like you. You'll tell me, hey, Randy, drink this and drink that, and it'll help your brain flow better. I'm going, okay, thank you. And I do it. You know, I go buy it. I try to buy it. Some of the things you've told me I bought and I've been using, and they work great. I put it as part of my drink. But the information about food is also a part of it, Angie, as you know. I've talked about this before. Food, and so I take vitamins. I take herbs. I buy everything you can think of that's good for you. I buy it all. I got a whole thing full of them. I put them all in my drink, grind them up. You hear my juicer going, I put all the pills in there and everything. It's like, you know, fine. You know, I put a little water in there and it smooths out. And then I add all the foods. I add mushrooms. I add, mushroom. One of the big things with cellular activation or cellular growth, multiplication of cells, is the mushroom called there's several of them, but lion's mane is the main one. And so now, instead of putting one big package of lion's mane in my stuff, I put two in there, man. So I'm like, oh yeah, man, we're gonna get this sucker flying, baby. And so it causes, lion's mane causes your brain cells to multiply.
Yeah, that's turkey candle, chunga, cordyceps. There's, you know, I take cordyceps every day too.
What's that?
It reduces stress, and it helps you with endurance, stamina, you know, strength.
Okay.
It's a mushroom. It's another
mushroom.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded familiar. How do you spell it? Cordyceps,
I would have to go look it up. I think it's C-O-R.
That's okay. But it's a mushroom, right?
Right. It's a mushroom.
It sounds familiar. It's
orange in color, skinny when they're dry, you know. So I take that every day. Sometimes I take it two times a day, you know.
I don't think I've ever taken that. You say it's orange?
It's orange in color when it's dry, yeah, and it's like
okay.
it looks like little worms, but it's not. It's a mushroom.
Oh, I haven't taken any worms. Yeah, I'm sorry, eating worms. Cool. No, I haven't used that mushroom yet. No.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
Chunga, cordyceps, you know, turkey tail.
Yeah, turkey tail, shiitake.
Mm-hmm.
Shiitake
is a very expensive mushroom, but it's very good in your with cooking too. We used to use that in the five. I used to serve in a 5-star restaurant, and we use that a lot.
Oh, really?
Shiitake mushrooms, sauteed shiitake mushrooms with filet mignon and lobster tail.
Oh wow, that does sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The main thing, here's another one that I've been taking. I've talked about this with other people on the show, but it's a brown, kind of a rubbery looking mushroom. I can't think of what it's called right now. I don't have it before me. But I found it at a Taiwanian, and you know they had stuff that nobody else has. So I'm going there going, man, they got stuff in here I ain't seen before. This is awesome. So I'm going through there.
Right.
I saw this brown mushroom that I never seen before, and I'm going like, so I break up my phone right there in the store, and I'm doing research. You know, what is this? What's this thing for? And they said they fed it to mice, and the mice that they fed it to, they sprayed them with, you know, some heavy duty bomb materials. You know, like from. From atomic bomb. Radiation, sorry. Yeah, some type of radiation. Yeah, they shot them with radiation, and the ones who ate the mushroom, that particular mushroom, weren't affected by the radiation. They called it something else. I can't think what it's called, but anyway. But the ones who didn't take it, of course, you know, died. Now, I said, oh, my God, I got to get me some of that. So I get me a whole thing of it, and I put it in my drink, man. And it is awesome.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, people don't realize how much we're exposed to radiation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. When I went to China,
I noticed that the elderly were moving very well. It was very rare to see anyone in a broken down, like here, all of our elderly are barely making it. They were doing calisthenics and sweeping the street. You know what I mean? And I went into one of the pharmacies, and their pharmacies, they don't have pills and stuff. They have jars with things in them, with different herbs and, you know.
Really?
Yeah. It's a total different.
Wow.
I don't know why God showed me what he's shown me in my life, but I'm thankful for it. And he's exposed me to the people that he's exposed me to, but I'm thankful for it. It's helped tremendously.
Now, don't you start blaming me for stuff. I have nothing to do with any of it.
Huh?
I said, don't start blaming me for stuff. You know, expose. I'm kidding with you. Got exposed to people.
I call you the guy that can reach at the bottom of the barrel. That person is not even weighted down and down under and is not even getting air. Help, I need to breathe.
The B-O-B, the bottom of the barrel, boy.
You're reaching all the way to the bottom of the barrel. You grab a hold of me. Talk to me, Randy. Talk to me.
Instead of calling me a boy, they call me a bob.
I know you're kind
of
talking to me.
Bottom of the barrel.
I know you're kind of. I still remember. So your patience is wonderful. You got patience.
Oh my God. I do not.
You do, because I can tell. Okay. It's like, okay, I'm gonna talk to you again.
Yeah, I remember seeing your number going like, okay, God, here we go on a roller coaster. Dear Jesus. Hey, who am I talking to? Where are you from? It's Angie, and I got some business to take care of. I'm going like, dear God, help me, Jesus. Literally, I'm like going, sometimes I click that number, I'm going like, you never know what's going to be the other end of that one. But you just have to do it anyway, you know? Like, come on, maybe God will do something. That's kind of like being plunged in the middle of a hurricane, and God shows you how to get right in the center of it. Well, you know what I'm saying? You never know what you're going to learn through people who are struggling, who are battling. You know, I learn stuff. I get stuff from God sometimes.
I was like, I know there's real. I said, there's got to be a real prophet. You said they're in here. You said they're in the earth. I got to find one. I got to find, you know. And it was the same time. I came across you in of all places, Facebook, and it was the same time my daddy died.
Oh,
that was in 2012, September of 2012, and by January by January the 18th, 2013, January the 18th, 2013, 9:30 at night, in the middle of my shed, my brain stopped screaming.
Oh, my gosh. Woo! Your brain stopped screaming.
So for four months, Randy, you were the hotline, and I won't let go. I've been in, and I won't let go. You're gonna change the situation, or we're both gonna die here.
Yeah, exactly. We'll die together. Hey, you know, I remember that because I got a lot of revelation off your situation, because when you told me when God touched you, like the middle of the night, whatever it was, that you said the electricity went through your. It went down your leg or something like that. And I'm going like, my first thought was that was the Holy Ghost, you know, because you said you felt electricity, I think, something like that. And then later the Holy Spirit corrected me because he wanted me to get it right. Right. He said that wasn't the electricity. Wasn't the Holy Spirit, Randy. The Holy Spirit got into the brain and caused the brain to start functioning again. And electricity was her nerves coming alive again. I went, you know, I'm going like, why did you have to explain that to me? What, And then I realized later why he just explained it to me. Because in that part of your brain that wasn't working, there was no power going to that part of your leg. And when the Holy Spirit touched your brain, you know, through Jesus, then all of a sudden your brain came alive. And when your brain came alive, the electricity went, the brain shot electricity, you know, it connected back to your leg and your leg started working again. That's really one of the things that got me thinking about the brain in a way that I never had before.
And my vision came back on the 20th at 1:30 at night. It might have been the 21st, but I think it was the 20th. It was 2 days, the 18th, the 20th, and throughout the 21st, because I couldn't wait until Monday, because I wanted to call you to make sure I didn't hit a new level of crazy, because I thought I said, oh, no, because I just hit a new level. Woo! If Randy says I'm healed, then this is healing. If not, I'm a nut.
Yeah. And you weren't going to tell me anything. I remember when you called, you said, well, before I talk, pray for me. I went, okay. So I started praying for you. I never forget this either. It's so awesome. And I said, well, I see you touching the hem of his garment. And then you told me what that meant later, you know, that was kind of confirming that you hadn't lost it, that God really had touched you. And so that was kind of the word of the Lord on that one. That was kind of amazing. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, it made me think, made me realize I'm saner than I was before.
Yeah, I haven't lost it all.
Well, I couldn't figure out how my dog passed. See, I couldn't even figure out what happened. What happened was that my dog went across my computer, and the mouse thing was on the pay, and it paid a $2,500 power bill that I didn't have $2,500 for. And it was driving me nuts because they were saying I did it. And I knew that I did not do that because I knew I didn't have the money. And I thought that now it's a real big mess because we were on medical stay. You're not supposed to be able to cut me off, so I'm paying the other bills. I'm trying to just get through that year, and it's already been 4 years. I'm carrying all this luggage, you know, trying to make everything work, and everything's falling apart, and I can't function, I can't think, and everybody and his brother is wanting blood, and I don't have any, fresh out of it, and I couldn't figure out, and once that pain stopped in my head, which I would always have, like, five different, you know, multiple thoughts at one time, pain in my head. It wasn't a matter of if I was going to have a headache. It's just how bad it is and how if I would even drool. It was so bad. I couldn't see out of my right eye. My peripheral vision was gone. I had gone to an eye doctor. They couldn't even tell that I didn't have the peripheral vision. But I knew something was wrong with that eye, and I would constantly wink and say, there's something wrong. But it was on the inside, not on the outside. It was in the brain. It wasn't in the eye.
Yeah.
So going to an eye doctor wasn't going to help me.
Yeah. You had to go to Jesus, the brain doctor.
So basically, that is amazing.
I had to
make you get down in that barrel with me.
You
gotta come down in here and swim a little bit.
start calling me Bob, bottom of the barrel.
Lord.
You never know. That's what I love about. That's why I said when he prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies, it's not that you are an enemy. We were enemies. It's that we had an enemy trying to fight you, and because I was sitting at the table with you, we were preparing a table for us in the midst of your enemy, actually, which is my enemy too, because we're brothers and sisters. And we sat right there, and then God says, "Man, you know, here you go," and He started showing you what to do, and you started doing it, and my God, it was amazing, mind boggling. But the big revelation, like you said, out of that was the brain. And that's why I think that you were – the reason I think God did that in my own limited thinking is because God was going to give me some things on the brain, and here that was your main situation. You needed a brain thing. And so
God,
I didn't know
you
it.
Don't
I
give
didn't
me my brain back. I'm not going to make it. I can, if I, you know, it's one
exactly.
thing to have a mangled body, but if your brain doesn't work and your body, you're a mess. I was a mess, Randy.
Yeah.
I still ain't got through it all, but I, you know, I'm not.
Yeah, you're on
you
your
know,
way out.
Yeah, I mean, but I was panicked. I was scared. The everyday thing, I was, you know, panic would strike me, you know.
I
almost
imagine.
Paralyzed me, you know, and, you know, with all those thoughts rushing and running and, you know, the worst case scenarios and, you know, it was just pure torment. It was like I was thrown in the pit. One day I was fine, the next day I'm in the pit of hell and I don't know how to get out. I can't even find the door.
Yeah, right. Because the brain, that's kind of what the testimonies that some of these people had on the show tonight when I watched the Daystar show. That's what they talked about. They said people just said, it won't be long, I'll be committing suicide or I'm just going to die because, you know, what's going on in my brain? I can't see anything. I can't, you know, I don't know. I can't get out. I don't know where to go. So I know I'm not going to live much longer. And that's kind of what they were talking about. All of a sudden, when they balance their brain out, you know, everything changed. I mean, just that quick. So that really showed me tonight that, and then you were, I think you came along, God brought you along because God knew in the future I was going to be having this brain thing. You were going to start telling me about the brain. And that he was going to use you without either of our knowledge. Because when you said how you got healed and then he said electricity, I've heard those stories bunches of times. Yeah, I got in the miracle service and I felt electricity shoot down my arm, leg, through my head, through my arm. I've heard those for years and never thought a thing about it being the brain until it happened, until you came along. And the Lord said, that's not what it is. It wasn't the Holy Ghost power that shot through her that she felt. That was her nervous system. That her brain all of a sudden brought to life and is able to shoot power down to that leg again in her eye, whatever. So that's what it was, Randy. So just keep that straight. Don't be saying something that ain't true. I'm going like, okay,
yeah,
sorry, you know, I'm just learning myself.
I bought those nursing clogs so that I could walk because I drugged the leg. I literally drugged that foot.
Yeah. Wow. And then the electricity goes through it. And now you got it going on. It's like it's going, okay, you can work again. That's amazing. And to me, the beauty of all that is now that we look back at all that, now that I've done this brain thing, and now that God's confirming to me, you know, constantly, like tonight, that show tonight was constant confirmation. All the information they talked about was confirming to me, Randy, you see, I am leading you to this, and we are going to make it to 100-fold. I'm going like, okay, please hurry. I'm in a hurry. Let's get this thing going. I get some people to help, you know, and so that's why I turn people onto that phone number. That because if that could help them maintain and just be normal, you know, that would be awesome. They don't have to, you know, we don't care how they get it. We just want them to get it. That's my thinking. So let's get that number out there. And so I just got that tonight. That's the first time I've ever heard of it. And people, if you need that number to kind of at least call, maybe find out about it, bring a little hope to you. And I don't know how much it costs. I don't know nothing about it because I've heard about it tonight for the first time. So when you came along and
well,
all that happened, and now I'm doing the brain thing.
They're able to even advertise it because, you know, it wasn't something that. I mean, I don't want to be anti whatever. It seems like that we've been cut off, thinking that America's number one when we were really behind in a lot of things.
Yeah, and deceived on a lot of things. It's
right.
not just
with
being
the,
behind
the
only.
Madness,
but when you're in deception, when you're in deception, you are behind. You're left behind on everything because you're thinking the wrong way, or you don't receive information. You have to send people to Mexico or to Sweden or whatever to get something. Yeah, exactly. I agree. So the brain thing to me is becoming the center.
The television really it can be your friend or your enemy. It makes a difference what you're really watching because it has different sounds, frequency, ways, and, you know, mind control is real. And you can see that a lot of people are under the deception and under the control of it.
Yeah, when I heard them talking tonight about how he did it, the guy who created this thing that's helping a lot of people, when he said he did it through sound, you know, and through music, he goes to the music industry, and he says, you know, here's what I want, and they made it for him, and then he took it to his scientific, you know, mind, and he made all the sounds, every tone. He took every tone, every part of the music, and he leveled the whole thing. He said, I leveled the whole thing out with an up and down and up and down sound. The frequencies were all kind of leveled. And he said when
basically,
he did that with that really worked.
Right. Saul was tormented, and he would call for David to play for him so that it would cease the torment. It was the sound of his heart and what he played, the notes that he played, that he learned in the sheep field, minding the sheep.
Yeah. I bet those sheep were some happy sheep.
Are you sheep happy? It just lets you know that it took a shepherd boy, the lowest job you can have in that time, palace.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the fact that what's connecting all that to me, because I've been into sounds myself too, but I don't think I understood this. I don't think that I understood. I haven't done enough research to know anything about the sound stuff doing this. When I heard him talk about it, I'm thinking, I can't find out how he did it. What if he's doing what I'm doing? You know, I'm going like, oh, my God, you know, somebody got my idea. And he's had it for years, you know. So when I found out what it was, I'm going like, oh, my gosh, he's doing it through music. Mine is not through music, but it was just extremely interesting. So I'm very encouraged that I'm on my way to 100-fold. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm going like, God, what I found out tonight, because they talk about this, that they have a machine they can put you on that shows you where your brain is at. You know, whether you're using 30%, whether you're, you know, whether your brain is imbalanced or whatever the word is that they use. And I would like to have that done to me. I would like to actually own one of those so that I can watch my brain and see what happens as I do my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because it actually tells you what's going on with your brain, the machine of some sort.
Well, I would like to have all the equipment too, Randy. I would mess with it.
I bet you would, yeah.
I would experiment.
Well,
I look like I got a pharmacy going here anyway. I'm mixing all kinds of stuff together.
Yeah, he says he created it because it healed him. He had problems. He had some problems. And I forget what his problems were, but he had some real brain issues, and it healed him. And so he's going like, that's kind of what's happening with me.
I think that they're using this technology to even help people that are on, that have some, you know, with the severe addiction problem that we have going on, and depressions and all of this. It's helping a lot of people access to this, because it's going to change a lot at the medical industry for sure.
Yeah, and there's going to be a real battle, because what's happening is with this is that they're finding out that all the medications, he said medications are good. The right kind of medications are good. He's not criticizing medication, but what's happening is that as they heal these people and they do it through these sound waves, that the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry is going to go like, you're taking away our business. So, you know, there's going to be a battle with that. Maybe that's a battle he's already in. And I don't know.
Well, I think we've been in the battle for a while. And
true.
I think that through some of the stuff that a lot of people are switching and finding out that herbs are healing. It's just not putting a Band-Aid over it, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And
exactly.
It is doing a major shift and a change. And if you remember looking back at some of the Star Trek things, you remember that Dr. Spock, no, not Dr. Spock, the other guy, kind of
Scotty.
But he would have some kind of machine, and he would go, wee, 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 you know, push a button and scan them, and putting out a sound to it to get a vibration back to see what was going on, to, you know, put them down asleep and, you know, run different sounds through them. I think that was a way of showing that, hey,
we're onto something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff. I'm sure the battle with all of it is that if I'm not going to make the money off of it, and you're going to take the place of my pharmaceutical, then I'm going to stop you from, you know. So there's that battle with all that, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus, didn't he say, well, you scribes, doctors, and Pharisees, you put upon the people something so grievous you wouldn't want to bear yourself?
Yeah, and the other part with the shepherds, where he talked about the shepherds, where the shepherds feed themselves, but they don't feed the flock. That's kind of what that reminds me of. The pharmaceutical industry is feeding themselves, making all the money, and they're not really helping anybody. They're just making money. They're feeding themselves, but not feeding the sheep.
Right. It's kind of like beating the sheep, and then bringing them in, trying to put a Band-Aid on it.
Right. So, yeah, they're out for the money. That's it. They found a way to get rich. They come up with some really cool stuff. They come up with some cool stuff, but the cool stuff isn't really solving the problem, and they don't want to make it to where they're going to solve the problem. They're trying to solve the problem. They're just trying to temporarily keep you going so they can keep making money and suck the life out of you.
Well, the Bible says when the wicked rule, the people moan and groan and suffer and perish. But when the righteous rule, it's a different outcome. So we have to pray for the righteous to rule and to remove the wicked. And I think, you know, we the reason that we should say those prayers is that those sounds are released to release what needs to be released in the earth, because your sons and daughters will prophesy. What are they saying? You know, most people will call their, you know, personalize everything that they have wrong with them. And I mean, if you want to take the puzzle apart, we can take it all apart bit by bit by bit. But
now, one thing that's going on too, I think that God, one of the reasons that God had me do this with the gold and silver thing for the PGN people who have been with us for a while, the reason that he did it, because I couldn't figure out, why are you doing this? You know, I didn't really care, but when he spoke to me so plainly, I'm going like, okay, so because you're saying this, God, and this is not going to be for me to be able to buy a building, you know, a studio, which I would love to have, in a building, and you know, because that's the tithe and the offering. That's not the people's money anymore. It's your money, and I'm taking care of it. And so when he had me, he said this is going to be for the body of Christ. And then later he told me to turn it into gold and silver, so that the value of it will never be lost. And I'm going like, why are you doing this, God? He said, because I'm going to restore the hope in the people that the shepherds are not just out to take their stuff. He said, that's one of the main things that my people need healed of, is they really don't trust the shepherds. And when you're in my position, you find out, Andy, that is so true. Because even though you do right things, it's in the back of their minds. They're going like, yeah, he's gonna screw me around somehow. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it. He's pretty shifty. He's pretty smart. He's pretty, not talking about me, but, you know, being smart, that is.
My first phone call is that, are you for real or not?
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's with the favorites. I am. I'm on the hunt.
that's what you live for. You live through that, it's part of the job. It's part of the calling. You deal with people who have dealt with shepherds who were just trying to get something from them, and it was all about them. And the Lord said, that's why the Lord told me, I don't want you to take a salary. Don't take a salary. I didn't even understand all that. I didn't know what was going on. It was really to keep me. I think it kept me from going places probably that maybe I would have gone. I really don't know. But then he says, if you're not merchandise, I'll bless you above all men. I'm going like, what? And so now I'm starting to see how that is working literally in my behalf right now. Literally. So it's amazing, and God is putting me right in the middle of everything, prophetically even, as far as, the prophecies in the Bible, showing me things. I'm one way or the other, connected to several different avenues of that. So it's like, how much – you couldn't pay enough money to be in the position that I'm in right now with things that are going on. You couldn't pay – there's no way you could call somebody and get favor and get – with the favor that God has given me and the place that he has positioned me. And so now I'm seeing that the riches he was talking about blessed me more than any man, whatever that means exactly, any man, I don't know what that means, but it's not about money so much, although money is a part of it. It's about, being right in the middle of everything. I mean, I'd rather be right in the middle of everything than be a multi-billionaire, with God's stuff. I'd rather be right in the middle of everything that God's doing in the Word of God, prophetically, as a prophet, than I would to have the greatest building, the greatest studio in the world. That's kind of what's happened. It's like God says, yeah, I know you want that studio pretty bad, but you know what? I want you to give it to the people. If you'll do that, it was like another level of blessing for me. He said, if you'll be a true shepherd and let me shepherd my people, which is what a true shepherd is letting God shepherd his people instead of us trying to shepherd them. We let God do it and do what he says. He said, if you'll do that, Randy, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to really bless you. I'm going like, okay. It's not money. It's being positioned with authority and having access, having keys to the kingdom that other people don't have. And you get keys into places that nobody could get into without that key. But that key came from the price of buying gold, coming by gold, of me tried in the fire. And so when you go through the fire and you decide to do what God is saying instead of what you think is right, what you think would be best, like build me a building, give me a nice studio, that's what I want. I want it for you. We're going to do it for you. But still, he said, well, I got other things going on. Here's what's more important to me, Randy. Do this. I'm going like, okay, that's good, man. No studio? Like, what's that? Don't even worry about that. That's going to be the least of your concerns, because you know what? I'm going to put you right in the middle of everything. I went, okay. That'd be richer than anybody, right? That would be considered richer. More blessed than any man. Yeah, that'd be considered blessed more than any man. So
right.
I'll take that.
Above and beyond Job. That's right. When I first started out, it started in probably 87. Well, I've always had a love for God, but I wasn't mature enough to do, I did my own thing or had my own ways or whatever. And it's kind of like, It started out with riding down the road, listening to R.W. Shambach, on the way to work,
Oh, yeah, I love R.W.
My daddy was having brain surgery, and I was, was going to divorce Michael, and God says, I'll deliver him, but, you got a choice. You can get out yourself, or either, or this is your husband, or you're going to stay and get him out, or you're going to leave him. You know what I mean? And it wasn't easy, right? Because everybody around me said, he's going to kill you. And he almost did. And I felt like a dummy with a dunce hat. In fact, one day, I was like, you know, I've done told people, Jesus, you know, I've done told them the word of the Lord. Jesus said he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. You just wait and see, you know. And one day it was a bad day. Mike was not being Mike. He was being that other thing that resided. And he fell out in the schoolyard. I live across the street from the school. And I said, this is so embarrassing, God. How is this deliverance? You know, so I was going to the pharmacy to get more pills. I was going to knock him out because he went to the doctor and got a shot that was too much. That was his problem. He couldn't get up. You know, the doctor gave him too much medicine. So anyway, I said, make him invisible. I'm so embarrassed. You know, whatever. You know, this is not a good testimony. I'm sitting here trying to arrogantly in my own ego, per se. I think, which got squashed really bad that day. But I said, make him invisible or something, you know. So I tried to get him up. So I'll go get the medicine. I'll try to get him in the house, lay him on the couch, and just throw a bunch of medicine and knock him out so he behaved, you know. Anyway, I come back. He's not invisible. There's a whole crowd of people, a fire truck, a police car, an ambulance, and, you know. And I'm like, okay, I'm not enjoying this moment. I'm mad as a wet hen, and Mike's over there, and the policeman and the ambulance guy is trying to convince me to put him in there. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I just got his medicine. If you'll just pick him up and put him on the couch, I'll give him his medicine. He goes, no, you're the one that don't understand. You know, I just took his bite.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I got so mad, I pulled my fist back. I was getting ready to punch a policeman. And that's not even, you know what I mean? But it was that rage of arrogance. And I'm like, okay. And then he goes, whoa, 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 you're not understanding, you know. He goes, I know you've had a bad day, you know. And I just kind of snapped, and I looked around. I seen all the neighbors and all this circus, and I'm like, okay. He wanted my signature. I signed the paper. I said, I don't care. I said, you can pick him up and put him on the couch or pick him up and put him in the wagon. I'm late for work and drove off and left the mall. And, of course, he arrived DOA. They had to bring him back. It was horrible. I felt bad after that. But
we can't handle him either, ma'am. Can you take him back, please?
Jesus, you're going to have to take him home now. You're destroying my pride.
No kidding.
I felt like the woman with the dunce hat for a long time until, you know. But the last thing I did was take communion, squeeze my hand 3 times, and lay down. You couldn't sell that to me. You know, with all the horrible things, we had some good moments. Don't get me wrong, but usually the good stories follow the bad stories.
I think we need to start being. I think we need to start being a lot more honest about our stuff that we go through than some hypocritical little game we try to play and make everybody think it wasn't that bad. You know, we need to tell people the truth without being condescending to those who are having a hard time, because people need to know, man. People go through stuff; they're afraid to tell anybody they're going through a hard time because, I'm not a good Christian if they find out I'm going through this. And we're like, hey, not true.
First, I had to find a church that would take a drunk in. I had to take Mike. When I took Mike to church, I sat him in the corner. He staggered in.
Yeah. Wow.
That was the hard part.
Yeah. No kidding.
So.
Wow, what a great night tonight. It's been great talking about this stuff. I love it. And what great testimony. And hope people are listening to that. And, you know, it's amazing. What kind of brain surgery was your daddy having?
My daddy had an aneurysm that did not rupture, but it was so deep in the brain they had to lift the brain up to get to it, and the doctor really was doing experimental. And
did it work?
Oh, it changed my daddy.
Oh,
he
really?
Was not the same man. He wasn't the same man.
In what way?
He seen double in one of his eyes. He was a man of a few words, great wisdom, and it just you know. It just changed him.
So when
Mike
so when man
aneurysm,
got in
Mike
there,
had,
okay, got it. Hang on.
Mike
so when
had
man
aneurysm
got in there,
too.
Okay, when they got in there, messed with his brain. When men mess, that's one thing they were talking about tonight. When men mess with the brain, it's so delicate. It's so you have to be really know what you're doing, and you have to have a miracle to do it. When men mess with it, it usually messes it up. Because it's so delicate.
Yeah.
It's so that's why they were talking about that what this thing that this guy does was that he gets the brain to heal itself because the brain knows how to heal itself. It's made by God to heal itself, to fix itself. But it has to get to a point, so they help it get to the point where it can heal itself. So I'm going to move on, but this has been really great.
You didn't pray
for
me yet. You didn't pray for me yet.
Right.
You can't go nowhere.
Let's
I got
that.
You a lot,
okay.
Bob.
All right. Yeah, Bob. Everyone's
Bob.
Calling me Bob. Bottom of the barrel, Bob. Yeah. I like that name, Bob. Hey, Bob. Billy Bob. When I used to make up names, I'd make up a name, Billy Bob. Now I know that was me I was talking about the whole time. It's Randy Bob. Okay. All right, let's do that. I'm going to meet you and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Ange. I appreciate it. We love you. All right. What a great, awesome testimony. I love that stuff, man. Yeah, just call me Bob, Randy Bob. If y'all listen to me long, you know, when I'm trying to tell a story, I'll always end up saying Billy Bob when I think it's a guy's name. Now I realize Billy Bob was pretty close, as a Bob is correct, bottom of the barrel. That'll work, whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Ange. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the sufficiency of Christ, God, that you're tapping her into like you did with Paul the Apostle, that thorn in the flesh, to teach him how to live on grace. And he was an extremely intelligent person. Angie is intelligent. But Lord, I thank you, God, that you knew that he needed that. You gave him that thorn in the flesh so that he would not become arrogant. Not because he was an arrogant person, but because he had so much knowledge. He had so much. You've given Angie so much stuff, God, and I'm not saying you have a thorn in the flesh, but something like that, to where, you know, God is, giving you information, showing you things, and that's eventually going to be written, eventually going to be made, you know, a book or something, and so thank you, Jesus, for that will open that up, God, and all the things you've been through, her story, her testimonies. A book of testimony for people to bring people things. I just see people reading your book, reading a book about that or whatever, that weeping and crying and going, oh my God, you know, and yeah, so they're beautiful things. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for restoring her, making her new, God, and this whole thing about giving her your grace, your sufficiency, making grace her sufficiency, because Paul the Apostle obviously didn't know enough about that because he was such a workaholic. He was a worker. He worked for everything and under the law. That's what he did. He had to work. And so under grace, we work, but it's a different kind of work. And so he had to learn how to do that different kind of work, the work of grace, not the work, you know, to perform. He was a very outstanding man. He was an amazing man without Jesus as far as human intellect and, desire and passion to serve God. He was an amazing man. He was a true man of God under the law. But thank you, Jesus, that you captured him. You wanted him so bad. You got him. You blinded him. And then you later gave him a thorn in the flesh to teach him how to live, to make grace his sufficiency, which was the key to everything for his life. And Jesus, so I thank you, Lord, for that with Ange. In Jesus' name, the key to her, key to the glory of God in her life, to stay in the glory, to dwell in the glory, to live in the glory, is that grace is my sufficiency. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Even so bad that even Paul says, you know, hey, man, take this thing from me, pray three times, which means he probably fasted and prayed for many, many days, many hours, three separate times. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. And finally, God says, I can't, you know, this is going to be for your good. And I'm going to bless you. And so what do we do now? What do we talk about a lot with the Bible? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and Paul. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who the heck are you? And then the devil started ripping them apart, stripping them of their clothing. because the devils did not know who he was. You know, they knew who Paul was. So that's what sufficiency was that, that the devils knew who Paul was. And only missing two people, as far as I know. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Right? So thank you, Lord, that even the devils will know Angie's name, God. And they'll say, Angie I know, and Randy I know, but who are you? And Jesus I know. I want to put my name in there. Anyway, Angie I know and Jesus I know, but so thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. All right. 251-229, who wants to talk for something?
Hey, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, you're in Alabama. I just realized that my friends from Sonia, who used to live in Texas, she's an Alabama girl, so we got two Alabama people now. What you doing over there in Alabama? Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Having a, well, it's kind of peaceful here. It's not too much going on and everything is peaceful, a peaceful night.
Yeah. Oh, great. Are you sitting outside enjoying it or are you inside?
I'm inside. I've been enjoying listening to the word.
Yeah. Andy's got some really cool stuff. And a lot of other things we were talking about tonight. It's really been cool. The word is so good. So what's on your mind tonight? What do you want to talk about? What are you thinking about? Israel, are you thinking about? What are you thinking about?
Well, I do think about Israel a lot. I mean, I think about them a lot. They're on my mind. And I think about how, you know, with the war and everything and how it got started and, you know, and Hezbollah, that group. And, you know, I mean, what is, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, but until the Lord comes and straighten out everything. The Jews is his chosen people. And so we can't get that. We have to remember that.
Right.
And so what do you think about what I just said? Well, the Jews are his chosen people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Jesus, God chose the Jews. God chose Abraham to make him a Jew, if you will, a Hebrew, to bring forth Christ. And so because God chose them, they suffered much. They suffered much. The fact that they're in their land again is totally miraculous. I mean, it's miraculous. And the fact that they haven't been taken down already is miraculous. So it's just God with them all the way. And, yeah, I really know that. And they're getting ready to build the temple. That is kind of on the menu right now. And we had a friend on who knows Bibi Netanyahu. We had him on the show a few weeks ago, Dr. Merari, Robert Merari. He was on with us. And he said, pray for Bibi because Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, he said, pray for him because he's really going through a lot. And he thinks that Bibi might compromise, you know, and sign a peace deal, really pray for him. And I'm going like, okay. And so he said, the peace deal. I said, the peace deal, you mean the peace deal like the peace deal? You know, the one that is the peace deal? He says, yeah. I'm going like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, all that stuff is a sign of where we're at and what's going on. So it's pretty, you know, Israel is a big sign. I mean, it's a big neon sign for God to show us where we are, what's happening. When they start building the temple, when they start putting the temple together on the Temple Mount or however they do it, it's going to be amazing. And then the Antichrist is going to show up because they got a red heifer now. The red heifer came from Texas. Yeah, that's still good. That all went through real well. The red heifer stayed red. So we're on with it, man. It's on.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yes,
what I think.
I know, and then the Antichrist is going to show up, and then, oh goodness. But God's got us covered, you know?
Yeah, he does. And the problem is that most people, most Christians, have believed in a pre-tribulation rapture. You might be one of those. I don't know if you are or not, but that's one thing I never did get into by the grace of God. The people I hung out with when I first got saved and baptized in the Spirit were not, they were not pre-trib people at all. So I never did believe in it. And the way they taught it, you know, it made the pre-tribbers look pretty sad. But so anyway, but most of the body of Christ believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And so when that doesn't happen, which it's not going to, then it's going to be devastating for those people. And they're not going to be prepared in the back of their mind. You know, I've heard John Hagee say many times, and, you know, he's a great man of God, but we differ on our beliefs on that completely. Yeah. But anyway, so he tells people all the time, don't worry. You know, when all hell breaks loose, we're going to be out of here. So that's what people like him and many people have taught. So how can you, in the back of your mind, you're not going to prepare to go through the worst. You're not going to prepare for that. So if you're not prepared, you know, yeah, God can bring you through it, but it's going to be really difficult for you because you're not prepared. Because in the back of your mind, you know, okay, when it really gets bad, you know, I'm going to be out of here. So I'm not going to, in my mind, I don't have to prepare for anything. I don't have to start believing God to take me through the worst time in human history. You know, I don't have to do that. So when it starts happening and they're not gone anywhere, they're going to be flipping out. So that's going to be devastating. For them, not for me, but because I'm going to be being used right in the middle of it, and those who are prepared and ready are going to be used right in the middle of it. They're going to be the Peter Pauls and that's who they're going to be. The other people are going to be like, you know, people are like, oh God, please pray for me, man. My life is falling apart, man. I mean, I thought I was going to be out of here by now, and I'm still here, and the Antichrist is here, and the Red Hammer got me, and oh my God, you know. They're going to be falling apart because, you know, for the most part, because they're not ready. They're fearful. They're full of those preachers filled them full of fear about the end times. So how are you going to look forward to something that you think God's going to leave everybody and leave people in the middle of it without God being here? You know, I wouldn't want to be here either if I thought that. And that's what they believe, most of them.
Bad. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I believe pretty much like you, what you're saying. I don't want to not be prepared and everything. And then when you're not prepared, that leaves you in the middle of the dust. So I understand what you're saying compared to what they're saying. You know, you can't be that way. You got to actually make a choice.
Yeah, you have to choose to. The thing is that they've been taught wrong. It's not the sheep's fault. I don't blame the sheep. I do blame the preachers, and they will be held accountable before God for their false teaching on all that. And that'll be, you know, for me, it'll be like, you know, thank you God that you're at least going to hold them accountable for that. And how many people they didn't deceive on purpose. It wasn't like they're trying to deceive people. They were deceived, and therefore that deception, you know, was something they taught. So, but yet at the same time, as shepherds. That's why the Bible says don't many of you be teachers, because teachers are going to be held to a higher level of accountability. You know, if you teach wrong, you're going to be held accountable for that. So that's the thing that people got to think about when they're teaching something else that's other than what's in the Bible. You know, they're going to be held accountable for that, literally. And so it's better not to teach anything than it is to teach the wrong thing, you know, because they will be held accountable for all of it. And for them, that's not going to be good. It's not that they don't go to heaven, but the rewards that they think they're going to get are not going to be there. That's going to be really shocking.
Well, some of them think, you know, that the mark of the beast is going to be here, and so we need to, you know, escape it and hurry up. And, you know, we're not going to take a part of it, you know, so...
Absolutely. Well, we don't have to take part of it. What they teach people is that if you're here, you have to take it, which you don't. Because what they're telling people is that if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't eat and you can't live. But I prophesied, you know, several years ago about Texas having its own currency and states around the globe are going to have their own currency, gold and silver. I said that. I gave those words two or three or four years ago, whatever it was. And now every bit of that is starting to happen. Literally, it's starting to happen. It wasn't happening before. And now it's happening, which ought to prove to people that maybe what Chandler is prophesying may be really right, you know? So you don't have to worry about, if I'm here, I'm going to starve to death, because that's what they tell you. If you're going to be here for this, John Hagee and a bunch of, you know, people that I love, people that I appreciate, people that have a lot of other good teachings, but that one is from hell. So they're teaching it, and they're teaching people, you know, if you're going to be here, you're going to starve to death, or you get your head cut off. One or the other, ain't going to be in between. So that's what they tell people, which is a full lie, according to the Bible. It's a full, complete lie. And so now what's happening, Texas, Oklahoma, now just passed a law. Texas and other states have passed laws that now they're going to have their own currency where they don't have to depend on a system. They're even saying that. When the system shuts us down, we're going to have gold and silver to do currency. I'm going like, oh, my God, I prophesied that 2 or 3 years before it even began to come about by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I would never have known that myself, but by the grace of God. So, yeah, so you know it's true. And so God is great. I don't know. I don't have a clue about any of it. He just shows me things, and I say what he gives me, and that's it. And so it's amazing, man. It's amazing. But a lot of people don't hear what we have to say. You know, a lot of people are not. They're hearing little bits and pieces of what we're saying, but anyway. So, I'm trying to walk through this thing not having any blood on my hands. That's what I'm trying to get through. No blood. That means I got to tell everybody the truth about what he tells me to tell them, whether I like it or not, or whether they like it or not. And sometimes that's not always exactly fun, but you get the reward you get from that is double. You know, when you warn people.
So we're not believing in the priesthood. We're believing in the.
Yeah, I'm not a mid-tribber. I know some people here on PGN are mid-tribbers. It's not mid-trib either. We're going to go all the way through the whole thing with the glory of God, and the wrath and all whatever people believe about all that. We're going to go through every bit of it. And is it going to be hard and difficult? Yeah. It is going to be hard and difficult, but we're made for it. And just like the examples I use several times, I've even talked to you about them many times, about Israel. When Israel went through the whole, God poured out his wrath on Egypt, and it never touched them one time. Not one time did it touch them. That is the best example of what exactly is going to happen. You know, I say exactly. The book of Acts is a mix of kind of both, but they went through the whole thing, and when the wrath was over, when God quit pouring his wrath out on Egypt, then they walked out. They didn't walk out before that. They only walked out after that. And the same thing here. When it's all broken through and everything's happened and God has done his thing on Egypt or the earth or the world, the worldly system, then the new Jerusalem and all that's gonna come, and We're gonna have 1,000 years first, and then So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah, going through the tribulation.
Yeah. I'm gonna prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. That's the thing I taught on tonight. God prepares in Psalms 23. He said, "I prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies." Not taking you out of them, letting your enemies be all around you. And you got a table prepared. He said, my head has oil on it. I shall not want.
Yeah.
All that is Psalms 23. So I don't know where people get off on all that other stuff, thinking, well, God can't provide. He's not going to be able to provide during that time because it's going to be so bad. I'm going like, yeah, I don't. That's not even biblical at all in any sense or form.
Yeah, I don't believe it either, because I mean what you're saying makes sense more so than what others are saying, and you just have to look it up, because what you're saying makes 100% true. It's 100% true, more so than the others, because this actually taking place in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, and the true testimony, as I've mentioned many times, is when we take communion, what are we taking communion for? Communion is Paul the Apostle confirmed in 1 Corinthians 11 that communion is for today. In other words, something that Gentiles do, that we all do. If you're born again, you're a Christian, you take communion. How you do communion, it may be different ways of doing it, but basically, so what does communion have to do with? Where did communion come from? It came from Israel coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
When they had to slaughter a lamb. For what?